Hello, folks, and welcome to yet another, well, odd episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Flebo Danolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Sologi. Say hi.
Good evening.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
So this episode is going to be for June 30th, 2017, the last show of the month. Literally, it is the last day of the month.
Yep.
Summer is now definitely here, and I hate it. I hate all of it. You know, there's just, there are days when I just wish the sun really would just burn out of existence.
Yeah. But then we'd all die too, so that's kind of problematic.
And worth it.
The sun.
We actually had
fuck that thing.
In the upper 60s, one of these Monday.
Hmm.
I was like, holy crap. It's June and I'm not sweating to death.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh God, this is what mild felt like. I almost forgot.
Yeah, I think Wednesday was like 72, 73. Then Thursday was 87.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's.
And see, the thing is down here, it rains a lot. So
yep.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now is high chance of rain every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty
so
much
you
here.
Get to,
humidity 95%, 96%, 70 degrees.
Constant frost running in the car. Can't see anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really foggy here when I got up this morning. It was crazy humid.
Yeah.
I like our part of Ohio in that the Cleveland Indians Twitter. Whenever they get rain delays, they say just look at the bio. The bio says we don't control the roster or the weather. Because people would bitch at them like, why is there a delay?
Yeah.
We don't control the weather.
Yeah,
we're just a Twitter account.
No matter what Alex Jones may have told you.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Anyway, so this week we got some news stuff. We're going to be talking about a certain thing that happened with CNN. We're also going to be talking about a certain advertisement that the National Rifle Association put out this week. And yeah, we have words.
As far as I'm concerned, those words are stochastic terrorism, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. We've also got some movie news. We're also going to have some science news, including NASA basically having to, let's just say that they basically have to do something stupid because Alex Jones said something stupid.
There's like a whole block there. It's all about crazy people.
Yeah.
Stupidity.
The crazy people block.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. And let's see. Yes, and of course VidCon happened.
Yeah.
And probably two of the internet's most famous or infamous personalities, depending on how you look at it, were involved.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got some new movie trailers, and we'll be talking about those, including one particular Jackie Chan film that looks far better than it has any right to be.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a Jackie Chan film, so that's another thing about it. So,
but anyway, with that said, Bill, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, I've been doing some gaming, quite a bit of it, actually.
Awesome.
Been playing Diablo 3 on the PS4. Tried out the Necromancer class. Can't quite get my head around him quite yet, but I'm learning. Mm. He's a bit strange, but yeah, it doesn't quite play the way you'd expect him to from Diablo 2. He's changed quite a bit. But, I'm having fun with that. He's, skeletons and cursing people and just all kinds of fun, wholesome
as
things.
As you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw an interesting tweet pointing out that all of the, like, action icons on the action bar are just skeletons.
Yeah.
Skulls.
Just skulls.
Here's, like, three skulls. Here's a skull in a hood. Here's a skull with number 3 next to it.
Yeah. Just skulls. Because... Necromancy.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So there's been that. I also, during the flash sale this week, I picked up God of War 3 Remastered for $4. That was a pretty good buy, I think. And also picked up Shadow of Mordor for $6. So it's like, hey. And there went 100 gigabytes of my hard drive.
Oh! That game does a great job of when you go to start it up, it's like, nope, hold on, we gotta install.
Nope, we gotta go. We gotta do some more.
You can't actually play until we say it's okay.
Yeah. So, joy. Well, it's hopefully a digital download doesn't actually do that, but we'll see. Probably does, knowing my life.
I want to say it
and
does.
Gone are the days of simply popping a disc into your drive and playing the game right away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless you own a Switch.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with what Phil has is it's the Game of the Year edition. Yeah, so it's trying to install the DLC, too.
Oh, yeah, it's got to get all of that shit, too. Yeah. Oh, well. So I'm going to play that fairly soon. Also intend to get the Crash Insane Collection, which I've been hearing very good things about. So, yeah.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah. So. Well, you're getting three games that have been remade, literally.
Yeah.
Completely and from the ground up. So... yeah, for that reason alone, I think, you know, it's worth supporting that kind of a collection. And if it leads to, you know, a Crash 4 that we'd actually want to play, then, you know, I'm all for that.
Too bad Mark Cerny's busy right now.
Yeah, he's busy doing the Knack 2. But,
the Redemption.
Yeah, the one that's actually a game. So, yeah. Mm. But, yeah, so that's been my gaming this week. Oh,
I did savage that game pretty hard in my review.
Yeah. And there's also, Tekken 7, been playing that online.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun online. I'm noticing I couldn't find it. Maybe I missed it wrong, but there's no, like, lobby play. That seems to be missing.
It's there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh. Mm. Okay.
I've done some lobbies.
I'll just have to... go through the settings and see if I can find it, because it's probably under player match, and I didn't really go there.
I think so.
Yeah.
That sounds right anyway.
Yeah. So there's been that, and other than that, I got my library card, so now I can get audiobooks from the library.
Yay!
Yeah, so that's going to be fun. Yeah. So I downloaded, Fallen Dragon by Peter F. Hamilton. I read that book long, long, long time ago. So I think it's time for another reread. And this one's narrated by John Lee, so that's going to be really good. So, yeah, looking forward to starting that. And it's, I'm a big fan of Peter F. Hamilton, except when he does weird things like Great North Road, which I don't understand why he made that book. It was bad. Yeah, there was like a whole subplot that I completely missed because I had fallen asleep.
Wow.
So, yeah. Just goes to show how interesting that book was for me. But anyway. So that's been my week. How about you, Pat?
A whole lot of streaming. Less than I would like, but... I can't complain too much. I'm really working hard to try and get that Twitch affiliation.
Yeah.
I think I'm well on my way. I need more followers for sure, but the viewership seems to be there, so that's good.
Yeah, it's coming along. I like that Virtua Fighter stream you did the beginning of the week. That turned out awesome.
Just one of the top U.S. Leon players shows up.
Yeah, and proceeds to body everybody. So. Yeah,
shows me how far I've slipped as a player, because there was a time when people were listing me on their top 10 U.S. players list, and now I wouldn't. Hmm. I probably wouldn't even go top 100 at the moment, but I'm going to get it back. Yeah,
and I think maybe it was probably expecting some salt. But no, that whole room and that whole stream was for the love of VF. So I think after he figured that out, it was like, oh, okay, this is cool. So
and Adrian, the other player that I'd actually brought in there, he was in the same spirit, absolutely. It felt good to be playing Virtua Fighter again. In even a remotely competitive setting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've kind of been disenfranchised from a lot of fighting games lately. I mean, I've been playing a lot of them, but I haven't found the one that I'm like, okay, this is the game. This is what I'm going to ride all the way to maybe Evo next year or something.
Hmm.
Obviously, Virtua Fighter isn't a game I can ride to Evo, but it's nice to think about. But it is definitely something I'm going to put time into and really, really hope that this whole amazing Sega initiative also leads to a Virtua Fighter 6, because that would be amazing. I would love that.
Mm. Yeah. So, that's pretty much it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Anytime I've not been streaming, I've more or less been a sleeper at work.
Oh. So. Yeah. All right,
Teresa, what about you?
I've been doing some audiobooks. Finished up my first in Discworld. And immediately got all of them on my Kindle. So I've been reading that. It's really cool. I'm enjoying it. We also went to the library and grabbed, it's like a collection of short stories that Terry Pratchett wrote when he was a teenager for his local paper in Buckinghamshire. And has been fun so far, but we haven't been driving around enough really to listen to him in the car, so but we will.
Yeah.
What else have I been doing? Playing a lot of games to just kind of, I don't know, clear my mind. A lot of crafting of Final Fantasy.
It really does.
It's going to come pretty close to booting up Doom and just shooting the shit out of stuff.
That works, too.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes life requires that.
Yes.
Watch it a little here and there. Still getting through Voyager. Actually, watched a lot of that in the past week. Hmm. We picked up an older Classic Who episode. Well, not episode. They like ran 4 or 5, and it would be the story arc. But we watched the first Doctor's death and regeneration into the second Doctor, and we were getting into it, so we went ahead with the first story from the second Doctor.
Hmm.
But we wanted to watch that before we watch now last week's Doctor Who from, like, Saturday, because there's something that may reference that regeneration, so...
Yeah.
So, but I have that. It's on tap. It's ready to go, and we'll probably watch that tomorrow, because we don't... We don't have any. I swear to God, if these cats don't stop fighting. Oh my God. But other than that, man, I'm sitting here wondering about whether or not I'm going to keep living in Illinois. Things are really coming to a head about not having a state budget. We haven't had a state budget for 2 years. And in 2015, there was a 5% income tax that expired, and they knew about it, and they did nothing about it, and our debt has spiraled out of control, and there are schools that aren't going to be able to open up. My grandmother, who retired driving a school bus, will stop getting her pension. You know, it's... I live in a very rich neighborhood, and I live in, you know, like the very cheapest home possible in this rich neighborhood. And even here, they were asking for donations from parents to keep the school going. Even here. So I'm watching that. Our fiscal year ended today. So I don't know. You know, everybody has the tinfoil hat theory that Illinois will be carved up and it will be absorbed by neighboring states. And that would make, you know, that would actually make it really cool if Puerto Rico becomes a state, because we won't have to change the flag.
There's also a movement to make D.C. a state, so.
Oh, well, then I guess we would have to change the flag. That would be a lot of flags to have to change. But, you know, politics is bullshit.
Yes.
So, a lot more meditative gaming. What about you, Chris?
Well, I've been watching a good bit of Netflix this week. I checked out Moana, which was really good. Especially as like a musical, which I have not seen out of Pixar in a while.
Well, you have Lin-Manuel Miranda to thank for that.
Yes. Yeah, he wrote a lot of the, at least the lyrics for a lot of the songs.
Hmm. Yeah, he also the Wayfaring song as the older flashback clan leader, or whatever you want to call him.
And especially nice to hear Philippa Sue as Moana's mom early on, which I could point her out just because I've been listening to that Hamilton's soundtrack way too much. So I can immediately point out her voice, especially when all the rest of the voices are more actual Samoan and Pacific Islander people. But at any point when you can get The Rock to sound halfway decent when he's singing, you've done a good job. Because he doesn't have the greatest voice out there.
Yeah, it's amazing what auto-tune can do.
Yeah. I also watched some MST3K, some of the original stuff. I'd never seen it.
And oh, the olders.
Yeah. It was Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Yes. Oh, yeah, the one that... This is back when Mike Nelson was hosting the show, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in the day.
I watched that and the second one, which I don't even know what it's called. Mm-hmm. Like, those two movies barely have any plot to it. So it's like nothing really happens. Like, the first 20 minutes of Manos, The Hands of Fate is literally just panning shots of scenery as they're driving.
Yeah, because
but we still watch it. Like every 3 months, we watch Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Yeah.
Reason, by the way, those who don't know, the reason the first 20 minutes are just panning shots is because that's actually the part in the movie where they were supposed to put the introductory credits, but they forgot to put them in post.
Whoops. Yeah, they're definitely joking. Like, okay, this. That's all there is.
Usually it's because that portion of their budget went up their nose.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, no, because this was the 60s, so it would have been acid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think I'm just spoiled more by more recent evolutions of that formula. Obviously, Let's Plays have come out of that style of just talking over a video or a game or whatever. But also, I've seen like Rooster Teeth has their own series that's essentially that. And they get license out these movies that are just terrible. But they're more actually better attempts at story. It's just terrible story. Though they actually get to do like trauma stuff every once in a while.
If you get a chance, watch some of the old Misty ones where they're doing like the film strips that they would show in school.
Oh, God.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. And I also watched some couple of comedy specials. Hasan Minhaj has a really good one that's from earlier this year, where he kind of, the whole bit of the entire show is just him talking about his life as a son of an immigrant and how his mom had to go back over to India because of weird visa issues. And when she was finally able to come back, he found out he had a sister because his dad would go visit her and got her pregnant one of the times.
Oh my God.
And didn't say anything.
Surprise.
Not to him. So he just found out, he's like, and being the only kid, obviously he did not take it very well that he had a little sister and was very mean to her, in school, caused her to cry before realizing he's a dick. He's being a dick. Like, and there's lots of great bits in there, like talking about racism he experienced in high school, and especially around like 9/11, having somebody call them up, call them sand niggers, and threaten to kill them, all that stuff. But how he, they've got their windows smashed in, their car windows smashed in, his book bag had stuff stolen out of it. He wanted to go just raise hell and find out who the hell it was. His dad was just cleaning out the glass because he accepted that to get this opportunity to start a new life in America. Racism came with it, that sort of thing. Also talking about how he was going to go to his prom with a girl that moved into town that was basically his best friend. But her parents didn't think it would be the best thing to have pictures of her going to prom with a brown kid. Because they're from Nebraska, so they were going to send pictures back home. God. That sort of thing. And how he harbored that grudge against her not standing up for him. Lots of interesting stuff there. And especially how he manifested that in the future, like with Facebook, when he finally got to headline his own night, sort of sending out boastful Facebook posts saying, "Yo, hit me up if you want tics." And she was one of them. He basically threw that into her face. Like, "I'm sorry, I don't think it would, like, it wouldn't be for great pictures," that sort of stuff. Like, threw it in her face to the applause of the audience before finding out that, in a twist, she was dating an Indian guy.
Oh, God!
After she moved out.
Well, clearly he made an impression on her.
And that his name was so long, it was almost longer than the alphabet. Big jokes. So what's great is this whole act, he has, like, screens behind him. So they're putting up images and such, so they're, like, comparing the length of his name to the alphabet, like, doing all these cool visual things that just adds to the fun of the whole thing. And talk about how he got hired to the Daily Show, all that. And it's a really cool show that people should definitely check out, especially if you're interested in hearing how a kid who obviously has to deal with racism but doesn't have the weird appreciation that actual immigrants have, because he's just an American kid. Mm-hmm. He's like, "I have a right to be here. Fuck anybody that wants to make him feel bad for his heritage." That sort of stuff. The other one I watched is what's his name? Jim Gaffigan, his new special.
Oh.
Which is like the exact opposite. Where he just makes jokes about him being a pale, blonde guy that's fat. That's like 90% of his jokes. Joking about how he wouldn't be wanted by the Nazis because he was too pale for the Nazis.
Wow.
It's weird shit like that, and about how just he's fat and lazy and all that. Just a lot of fun stuff there. And yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on Netflix. I also went to GameStop because of the Steam and PSN sales. They have a great promotion where if you take at least 6 games to them, they give you 60 or 70% bonus credit. Depending on whether you're a Power Up Rewards member or not. And so I took 13 games, got $164. Some of these games I was able to essentially get PSN credit and buy their digital versions at either zero cost to me or like cheap. Like I got Rigs for they gave me $20. That's how much it costs on PSN. Horizon Zero Dawn, $34. Well, Phil would like this. Forza Horizon, the original, $12. Still at this point.
You can't buy a digital version anymore. It's delisted.
Yeah, but still.
Well, didn't they take the servers down too?
Yeah.
I think it took DLC.
Yeah, DLC's gone. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got that from Games with Gold. So it's like just some crazy prices for some of this stuff. I might actually go back with some more because Ratchet and Clank, the new PS4 version, it's up to like $12 before the bonuses. And it's $8 on PSN.
Yeah.
So that's a game people should be getting because that's a really great game. So I basically got $100 in PSN credits, like $70 in Steam credit. Pre-ordered the Crash Bandicoot trilogy. Bought some of the PSVR games I traded in for digital. And a couple other things. On Steam, I picked up PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which I was playing a little bit of that earlier. And that game is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just a big patch, too.
Yeah, like, here's how weird that game is and how people have been able to figure out things. They figured out that all the cars that you can drive are facing east. They fixed that in this update. Randomizes it. And so there's like a weird meta of if you're going to try and trick people, you go and park your car, but park it facing east. Trick them and thinking that's just a fresh car.
Okay.
I've seen people actually like hide behind the car, wait, somebody goes to get in and start driving, and they hop in right away and shoot them while in the car. And like really cool tricks with that, but I played two games, so I'm not nearly that good yet. The first game, I got killed pretty quickly. I was just going through some houses in this little area, and somebody else was there I didn't know about, and they killed me before I could do anything.
Oopsie.
Second time, I lasted a lot longer, mainly because I didn't run into people. And that was like running up right to the start of this, us doing the show. So there was this point where I just started running. Just running, and somebody started shooting at me, hit me once. I just started running serpentine, and they couldn't hit me. I heard the bullets just whizzing by me. Pew, pew, pew. I just kept serpentining, and eventually they gave up because they were wasting bullets on me. And this dumbass just running in zigzags the whole time. It's ridiculous. And I was like, I outran their bullets. Survived. Then eventually I just jumped off of a tall structure to kill myself because I was like, nobody's going to kill me anytime soon. I'm just going to kill myself. I was like, I think 26th remaining player. So just fucking around for 15, 20 minutes. You can survive pretty long, still not learn how to play it, really.
Yeah.
That's sort of the big problem with the game is people are able to survive to like the last 10, but still don't know how to do combat or anything like that. Because they just hide in houses and manage to stay out of the way of other people.
I was going to say, that's a really self-deprecating comment if ever I've heard one.
I mean, you get coins for how long you last, which used to buy like cosmetic crates. And there's lots of weird stuff. I attached my Twitch account to it, and I got Twitch Prime clothing. It was like a fucking robber's mask with the Twitch logo on it. It looks real stupid as fuck. It's like, here's the dumbass clothing. Like, you know this person has barely played the game if this is all they're wearing when they're going into. Or you can be like some of the other people that are just not wearing anything but their underwear. Because you're going to pick up clothes anyway. You lose it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that game is a great storytelling game. Telling people about these weird conquests of when I outran somebody's bullets because I just kept zigzagging and they couldn't actually hit me.
Yeah, because they didn't know how to lead their shots.
Yeah. And, yeah, that can be hard because you don't necessarily have good scopes.
Yeah.
Because you have to find them.
Yeah.
So I think I had, like, a red dot sight on this one weapon. It's like, you don't get very much distance that you can view with that sort of thing.
No.
Yeah, there's lots of cool stuff. I'm looking forward to playing more of that. And also been playing the Crash Bandicoot trilogy, particularly the first game. It looks really good. It plays well. The one knock is load times. It's like 10 seconds per level to load in or out. And it's kind of enough that it's a little bit of a bummer, but it doesn't take away from it very much. They've done a really good job of modernizing that game. One of the cool things they added is, at least, I think you have to play up to a certain point, but you can play as Coco, his sister.
Okay.
So you can unlock her and just basically hit the R2 to switch over to her and play her in most of the levels. That's a great option for girls.
Yeah.
Have a way of playing as his little sister who has like a 90s trapper keeper. Like she carries that around. That's how 90s this game is.
God.
And they've done a great job with like the animations, a lot of the death animations. They kept them from the original, but just modernized them So like somewhere he dies and his shoes just fly up from the pit. Like it still does that. There's some weirdness. Like if you go past some of the rolling discs that are in those very early levels in the first game, if you go past them and then come back, you can sort of see where they're just hanging out, like the top of the lip. Wait until you've like gone back far enough for it to actually start that animation cycle back and forth. There's some weird stuff like that, but for the most part, it's really well done. And for three games, three great games, $40 is a pretty good steal. They also added trials to that stuff. So you can, I get to beat the level for one time, then you unlock it, and you can do trials, which essentially you pick up a stopwatch at the beginning of the level to start. And then there are specific crates around it has like a 1 or 3, and that'll stop the clock for 1 or 3 seconds. So it's like trying to chain some of this stuff to keep your time down, because you get a low enough time, you get the one of the collectibles that just signifies you've beaten the like goal time. But there's also leaderboards to compare with others, and just let you see how you stack up against crazy people. They're trying to kind of speed run these random Crash Bandicoot levels. I've also been doing some more YouTube stuff. My freeloading game this week is Trove, which is on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. It's kind of like if you mashed up Minecraft with Diablo and made it an MMO.
Okay.
It's kind of like that. Everything's done in sort of a Minecraft style. You can actually build up a house, like a home base house, put crafting, various type of crafting desks and such. And it's, I've seen people make like giant like towers, because it's just this like, I don't know what the actual size is, like 15 by 15 square. You can build anything onto it, and you just find out in these areas, these specific like signposts, and that's sort of a place where you can just respawn your base. So you don't necessarily have to go back to one specific spot. You can kind of almost bring it along with you. But there you can sort of do lots of different types of crafting things if you collect stuff. It's pretty cool. I just don't need another Diablo game. I have three versions of Diablo. I got Marvel Heroes on three platforms. I got plenty of clones if I need that. But that seems like a game that very much is a great game for kids. As long as the chat doesn't get too bad, but I think they have censorship stuff on there. People go too bad. They just put out a big update the day my video went up, so I don't know what was in that, but it's probably different than what my video is showing. I changed up my Fresh Play video to what I call VR time, which I just play a VR game. So I played The Assembly on PSVR, which is an adventure game from End Dreams. And it's a bit of a weird game, at least story-wise. You're kind of in this secret science facility. You're a scientist, a woman who your grandmother is has some sort of illness that is terminal. And so she donates herself to the facility, I guess, to aid your research. And something happens, and she gets prosecuted for something. I don't know what. The story is a little bit weird. But then you play another scientist in the facility, and I'm guessing you're going to uncover things about what happened there and all that sort of stuff. I was playing with two moves, and the game's not really great for move control. The camera, the way you control like where you're looking, obviously you can look around yourself, but if you want to turn your view, you have to hit one of the buttons to bring up like a dial that you then point at and click. Whether you want to turn 90 degrees left or right or 180. And Then I looked at the controls and I'm like, oh, this, I should be playing this on a DualShock 4. Because that's not correct. I kind of wish they had better, especially when you have two moves, like offload some things to one of the controllers and others to the other, so it makes it a lot better experience. Hmm. Like if I could just hit the face buttons on one of the moves, just do that automatic turning without necessarily having to do the dial pointing stuff.
Yeah.
That would have made more sense. But otherwise, it's pretty cool. It's a lot of just walking around, but for an adventure game, it doesn't do a great job of helping you.
Hmm.
Like, it told me a code, and it's like, I forget it. And I can't find any way of pulling it back up. It doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah. It's like, well, where you got to write it down immediately, or which, you're going to see it again.
It's something you can do in VR. Mm-hmm. You got something strapped to your face. So it's like, okay, if I want to play this again, I'm going to have to look up a walkthrough.
Hmm.
Just to find out the code so I can keep going.
Hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, and they also updated at some point, so you don't need PSVR. But I'm pretty sure that game's not going to work out too well outside of VR, just because of the way it's designed for VR.
Yeah,
it's not going to translate too well out of it. It's not like a Rez or Thumper or anything like that, where it can work well either way. Though once you play with VR, you don't want to play it any other way.
Yeah.
And the anniversary I celebrated on this week is Tomba. Turns 19 today.
Jeez. Nice. one of the greatest PS1 games, I think.
And one of the best really jump animations in the industry's history. Where, yeah, this caveman just throws his entire body into every jump.
Mm-hmm.
Jump on these pigs or chicks or treasure chests or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, that game is a lot of fun. And it makes me eager to do the second game, which released here in North America on December 31st, 1999. So that's going to be a weird game to try to cover.
Yeah.
I think that's like
pre-recorded.
Well, it's not actually going to go up on that date, but it's going to go up on that Friday, which I think is going to have to go up essentially like the Friday after that, because I think it's on Sunday this year. So, yeah. But still, that game is kind of crazy itself, because it's like, hey, what if we take this 2D game and just make it 3D? Still, it's 2D. It's still tied to like linear paths and all that, but yeah, everything's in polygons.
Yeah.
But yeah, that game was a lot of fun to go to. And it, trying to figure out where the hell the team came from and all, it's very not well documented. Just kind of appeared, led by the guy that created Ghouls and Ghosts. And then after the second game, they just dispersed.
Yeah.
A lot of their people went to Access Games, made Deadly Premonition and all that. Which is also kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, also been trying to get Marvel Heroes Omega going on Xbox One. That game's too huge. It basically, because here's the whole thing. I was trying to download Crash Bandicoot, trying to download all the VR games I had, also Marvel Heroes Omega, also the 10 gig update for Marvel Heroes Omega on PS4.
Ooh.
And also, like, download Giant Bomb video stuff. And also wanted to play some PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. You're not going to play an online game when you're trying to download shit. it's like trying to spin all these plates, but I got like two things done and then played two matches of PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Did at any point a giant middle finger come out of your cable modem? Because...
trying to think. No?
Okay.
No, my Xbox One was weird, though. Is that when you have two drives essentially maxed out? It's kind of hard trying to free up space on one so you can start downloading a game.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, this game has a 4 gig update. Which hard drive is it on? Is it on the internal or is it on the external?
Yeah.
I got to know where to start deleting stuff, and I got to delete stuff on the other one. they don't do a great job with memory management on Xbox One.
Mm.
Especially when I get weird things saying, hey, free up 32 kilobits of space. How the hell is there something that needs 32 kilobits of space and it can't get it?
Yeah.
Someone else.
The worst is free up 0 kilobits of space.
Yeah.
It's like,
I get those. It's like, okay, I'm just going to delete whatever you want me to update because this isn't
clearly
working.
You're broken.
Yeah. I can't restart my system, or I can, but it sits there in nothingness for 30 minutes. So there's something wrong with the Xbox.
Hmm.
Which means I need an X as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And just dump this dumpster fire of an Xbox One on GameStop. Tell them to take it. Get the hell out of here.
Mm. Try a factory reset first. Probably might sort out a lot of that shit.
It's only going to be a few more months. I have to wait.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
I mean, if I go to reset something, it takes 30 minutes. I just give up and just do something else and wait for it to come back to life.
Yeah.
Mm. It's a broken system.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that's like the magic way you solve any Xbox One problem.
Restart.
Just restart. And somehow even that's too much for mine.
Windows. Yay.
Yeah, that's kind of been it. So how about you, Brandon?
All right. So, yes, my primary gaming this week has been doing it for the review, Valkyrie Revolution.
Mm.
And I have some thoughts.
Somebody's not under embargo anymore.
Nope. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go ahead and give everything away. I'm going to wait and do that for Day Zero update and, of course, my coming review, which, if all goes well, should be out probably sometime in the middle of next week. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. First things first, this is not in any way related to the other Valkyria games. It's basically a spinoff with its own sort of mini universe. And it's the storytelling, the actual story and the writing is actually really good and very compelling, actually. Admittedly, not all of the characters are necessarily well written. Like one of the main characters in this game is Princess Ophelia, who is like this very idealistic, big sort of late 19th century style princess, and she talks like an aristocrat with lots of these and thous, and you know, it's very theatrical.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she is constantly shocked by how the fact that the world doesn't necessarily live up to her ideals, even after she's already killed dozens and dozens of people on the battlefield. But basically, okay, so like the basic story behind this particular game is it takes place about the story is sort of told in the past tense, kind of a lot like how the original Valkyria Chronicles was. It was told, it was basically a book, right, on the Gallian front, written by that reporter lady, and you're basically reading it, supposedly reading it years after the fact. And that's sort of how this works. So it's 100 years, about a century after the events that are talking about unfolding, and it's a professor of history named Rochelle and one of her students who are out in the middle of this these woods in this country called Jutland, which is celebrating 100 years of what they call the Liberation War, which is when they fought back against an embargo and brought down an empire. And they're both talking at this place, which is called the Grave of the Five Traitors, which is these five individuals who supposedly work together in order to convince Jutland to go to war with the Ruse Empire, which is the big empire, basically for the purpose of fulfilling a personal vendetta. And, you know, that's about all I'll say for right now. It's basically sort of about, it's got a lot to talk about, you know, how history is written, about, you know, the things that go into and don't make it into the history books, how it can be written by the victors and rewritten years after the fact, stuff like that. Very fascinating stuff. Here's the problem. The gameplay kind of sucks.
Aww.
Suikoden syndrome.
Imagine a Dynasty Warriors game combined with the ATB system from Final Fantasy.
Ew.
What the hell does that mean?
Okay, so you know how in played a Dynasty Warriors games before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you know how in Dynasty Warriors you go into a place and go, you know, swipe at a bunch of enemies all in a bunch? Yeah. So imagine that, but you can't do like multiple button combos. You can only, you press a button once and it'll like do a preset attack combo that every character has. And you've
so
actually
press
got
X until everything's dead.
Yeah. You have a meter, an action meter that depending on the mood or how the battlefield is, will either refill fast or slow. So that determines how fastly you can attack and reattack and counterattack.
Cooldowns on attacks.
Yeah. And that's just the basic, by the way. Instead of like in the original Valkyria Chronicle where you had like this big force behind you that you could control individually, like a strategy game, for much of it, you're basically in a four-person team. And, you know, you can switch between the four of them and take over for them, or you can also give them orders. Their AI is not necessarily bad, but it can sometimes be aggravating. There is this, let's see. Really, the biggest problem is that unless you're fighting up against like boss fights or like up against a big crowd of enemies, the gameplay is just kind of a slog. You know, it's, to be honest, and I'm playing on the normal difficulty right now. I'm not even playing easy right now. There's just not a whole lot of planning or strategy into almost any of it. Like, I'm halfway through the game now, and I have almost never had to give particular orders to any other person in the squad because I can just do it all with the guy I'm playing as.
So,
that kind of sounds like strategic. To me, that kind of sounds like a PS2 action game before, like, the Dynasty Warriors style was settled.
Yeah,
like they kind of came in and said, "Hey, we like this thing, but we're gonna do something our own style of it."
Mm.
And then nobody bought it, and nobody cared about it ever again.
Yeah, You know, because I mean, and that's probably one of the things that's really frustrating about this game is it has a lot of great ideas in it and a lot of great concepts to work with, but the actual game mechanics are just, they're not bad necessarily, but they're just mediocre. That's about all I'll talk about for this evening. Look for the rest of it in the following Day Zero update and, of course, my upcoming review. So other than that, I've been doing some reading. I got a copy of a book called God of Manga, The Art of Osamu Tezuka, which is a big, giant hardcover art book that covers all of Osamu Tezuka's career from, you know, his time when he was in college all the way up to his death in the late 80s. It's filled with a lot, talking about a lot of the stuff he, you know, a lot of the manga he drew, the films he worked on, including, you know, some of the famous work, some of the ones like his experimental stuff, some of the other projects he worked on, like, you know, he, sculpting, you know, handful of science fiction novels he wrote, music stuff, his time, you know, working in the theater when he was younger, stuff like that. It also comes with a DVD that is actually of a short documentary about his working style that was made back in 1985 when he was still alive and very much working.
Huh.
So you get to actually see what it was like for him to work in his studio.
That is cool.
It is very cool. Katsuhiro Otomo gave a really nice introduction to the book. It's just all over really cool. Of course, I've been reading some other stuff. I've been reading Drew Karpyshyn's Chaosborn trilogy. Those of you who don't know who Drew Karpyshyn is, he's the guy who is he basically in the gaming world became famous as the writer for the first two Mass Effect games. He worked on Jade Empire.
A bunch of Star Wars Extended Universe novels.
Yeah, he worked on KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic. And, of course, he's now back working on Anthem. So the Chaosborn trilogy is his first original fiction that he ever put out. It's a fantasy trilogy. Before that, he'd already published a lot of novels before then, but it was all tie-in stuff, mostly Star Wars and Mass Effect related.
Yeah.
I think there was like one Baldur's Gate book he did, I think he did one Forgotten Realms book. I can't remember what it's called though, but it's really good stuff. And finally, I've been gorging myself on riff tracks. So we were bringing up MST3K. As everybody knows, riff tracks is what Mike Nelson and crew did after they left. And I got a bunch of Rip Tracks Live, which is when they do, shows in theaters where they riff on particular movies. And usually before they do that, they'll do a riff on, like, old commercials or old, like, films they'd show in school.
Yeah.
And how unusually creepy some of those can be.
Gosh, yes.
Like, my personal favorite is the one they did on a film strip that was called Measuring Man. And it's basically this kid who's like, he's in his kitchen and he's like, and he's trying to figure out about things like, he's learning about measuring stuff, inches, feet, pounds, ounces, that type of thing. And their milkman comes in, who is this weird looking like dude with like glasses and slick back hair. He just looks like he drives around in a white van. You know what I'm saying? Then he changes into Measuring Man, which is him in a off-brand Superman costume, except he still has the slick back hair and glasses. And then he takes him off to Measuring Land. And then he asked him how big he is.
Oh, these jokes write themselves.
And then there's this part where he's talking about, standards of measurement, and how, the government sets up standards of measurement so that wherever you go in the U.S., everything, all the measurements will be the same for, what you buy, what you wear, or what you eat. And then he produces a soft serve ice cream cone, looks at it, licks his lips, then gives it to little Timmy and just kind of stares at him as he's eating it. It is creepy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, I got the Riff Tracks Live for, I got House on Haunted Hill, Manos, of course, and of course, Miami Connection. Which is the... Well, if you don't know what that movie is by now, I just don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I think you talked about it a few weeks back.
All right, so, yeah, that's what I've been up to this week. Anybody got anything else they want to add?
Nope.
All right, then. Well, it's time once again for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And once again, I'm going to do a food one, because that's one of the things I love doing, which is introducing people to ways that people can learn to clog their arteries and die with a smile on their faces.
Okay.
Yeah. And this one is not even a recent invention. It's actually a traditional dish. It comes from Eastern Europe. It's actually from Georgia. Not my Georgia, but the other one, the country. It's been around for, well, God knows how many years, a couple hundred years at least. And it's one of those foods where you think, you know, if you've ever been in like a restaurant and you got like, you know, a big old thing of like garlic bread, you know, like, you know, the garlic bread sticks at Olive Garden or the cheddar biscuits from Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Which, let's be perfectly honest, Red Lobster could only sell those and they would still be about as popular as they are now.
Is there really any other reason to go to a Red Lobster?
No.
No.
It's all really
the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Yeah. I mean, it's ironic because they're called Red Lobster, and yet the lobster kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you're looking at that thing, you're thinking, gosh, you know, this garlic bread covered in butter and, you know, all carby and nice and sugary and sweet, you know, it's like, man, this is just too healthy. We need to fatten this up a little bit more. Well, the Georgians have had you covered for, about a couple hundred years now. So, I would like to introduce to you, courtesy of Let's Weekend, the Georgian delicacy of kachapuri. Or...
Is that?
Yes, that is exactly what you think it is. That is a big piece of bread that has been molded into a boat shape, filled with cheese, eggs, and butter, baked, had a raw egg attached, baked again, then covered and pasted with more butter, and then had extra little pieces of butter dropped in afterwards, and then you serve.
Nothing about this sounds bad.
I gotta find a place to serve.
looks like an eye. Breakfast food eye.
It does look like an eyeball.
Yeah, so basically what you do is, in order to eat this, you know, you stir up the center, and then you just break off pieces of the bread, dip it in, and there you go.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
My God.
Oh, this looks amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It needs gravy.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
A nice brown gravy.
I was going to say country gravy with sausage in it, just dump that shit everywhere.
All right. Yeah, it looks tasty, doesn't it?
How the hell isn't that a staple over here yet?
Yeah.
I actually am curious.
It seems like something that the United States would have appropriated years ago.
Oh, hey, yeah, bread, eggs, and breakfast butter stuff.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering all the Eastern European immigrants that made their way over here.
Yeah.
You would think this would be a thing.
This should be a Denny's staple with a pun name attached to it.
Yeah.
Okay, technically this is...
Again, make that gravy adjustment that I mentioned with the sausage in it, and you've Americanized it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, this is not a breakfast food. This is something you usually eat in, for lunch.
We got plenty of restaurants where you can eat breakfast all day.
No, I would eat this whenever the fuck I wanted.
Yes.
Yes.
And as you probably can guess, this did not just stay in Georgia. It eventually spread to the rest of the old Soviet bloc, including Russia.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, during the 2014 Winter Olympics, it was estimated that about 175,000 of these things were consumed.
Oh, I bet.
In fact, according to a survey that was back in 2009... 88% of Georgians actually prefer this over pizza.
I could see it.
It's competitive.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just, if you want to, we can just take a minute a couple more minutes to just admire its beauty.
Yes.
It's like, now I'm going to have to find a recipe so I can make that shit here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can find several recipes online to make it.
Yeah.
You can probably just make your own and it'll taste just as good. Doesn't have to be the exact
butter,
recipe.
Eggs.
Yeah.
Just like get one of those those big cans of like biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just reshape that into something you can put eggs and hash browns and all this stuff in there.
Nah, it wouldn't be right. Nah, it's the wrong kind of bread.
Yeah. This is
something like that.
This will happen. In the near future, this is going to happen.
Yeah. The best part is there are actually several different varieties of this.
I'm sure somebody's already figured out the gravy part.
Yeah. Mm. It is, in fact, not at all unusual to add some chopped up bacon into that.
Oh, my Jesus. God, that sounds great. Why did you say bacon?
Bacon makes everything
better. There's also parts like the ostie and kachapuri, which will also include potatoes in the filling. Mm-hmm. There is the there are types where they'll take this and turn it into more of a pie. So mm-hmm. like they have like what's called
not
the Pinovani kachapuri, which uses puff pastry dough.
Mm-hmm. Similar to what Chris was talking about. So.
There's also the one called the Gurian kachapuri, which is where they take this basic idea and basically kind of turn it into a calzone.
Mm.
And paint the top with garlic butter.
Oh. Okay, now I'm really, really hungry.
And my job is done. And that, my friends, has been Brandon's random factoid. And just so you know, it's okay to think about this when you're masturbating tonight. We all understand.
Butter.
I think I had a moment already.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yes, eventually that will make its way over here, and it will be a thing. It just has to. I mean, it's freaking got all the hallmarks of American greatness.
And it'll be made possible because of this podcast. This is going to be our legacy. We brought this over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now on to the show proper, which is actually a lie. The show proper comes after these two segments, but
whatever.
We'll get there.
The proper show proper comes after these two segments. This is just the show proper.
Okay.
But anyway, so first things first, our assholes of the week. And our assholes of the week is the National Rifle Association, who this week put out this virally infamous piece of advertisement starring none other than noted, cuntbag Dana Loesch. In what can only be really seen as basically using all the techniques of an ISIS terrorist video.
And it's very much an extremist recruitment video.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
all the language was there.
Yeah.
It was and there's this actually kind of makes sense. It would make this when you consider the fact that under President Trump, gun sales, small arms sales have actually gone down significantly.
There's no black man in power that they got to fight against.
No. So who wants to start first?
I mean, there's one great thing about this video. Whenever Dana's on, she's got a blue background behind her. So somebody keyed out the blue and stuck her in Star Wars The Force Awakens. Particularly the scene on the Death Star planet where the one guy is doing his big speech just replaces it with her. And when they go to like the actual like violent left video stuff, it's just pictures of panning of the stormtroopers. At the end, it ends with the stormtroopers with their arms in the air saluting.
Oh my god,
that's fantastic.
That's a good way of turning it around.
Yeah. So basically, as you can probably expect, people were not too happy about this. Because
well, it's technically stochastic terrorism.
Yeah, but that's kind of a really... that's a very vague legal idea in the U.S.
Otherwise, there'd be so many people taken in for it, it's not even funny.
Yeah, and the thing is, she is... You know, and I expected that this was going to happen after that guy went and basically shot up that congressional baseball practice with the Republicans and shot Steve Scalise.
Yeah, though her defense against that is that they filmed this in April. So they've been working on this for a while.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So they had prior plans to be assholes. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes it better?
Yep. Long-term planning.
Well, that's not exactly what I would consider not part of their modus operandi, considering that NRA just loves to exploit tragedy.
Yeah.
And she is literally calling for violence in the streets.
Yes.
Like, she straight up said that you need to fight the violent left with quote-unquote fists of truth.
Oh, jeez.
Well, closed the closed fist of truth. Yes.
Mm. And she says, I just said the fist of truth. It's like, no, a closed fist means fighting.
Mm. Yeah. We're not stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put the link to that Star Wars video.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the director's cut.
It's the director's cut. Oh,
that's good. It's just,
and she talks about the left calling for xenophobia, homophobia, sexism, all that stuff.
Yeah,
that's because it's there.
Yeah,
you guys are literally playing off the fear of the people.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's probably the most obvious piece of projection I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think even the Women's March people responded to this.
Yeah.
Because they obviously saw the things that she's been responding to the criticism, trying to play it off as not actually meaning the subtext that everybody else sees in it.
And very clearly see.
It's like, you think everybody is stupid, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, in fact, they really do.
Yeah, they do, except that they're not, so...
No.
Fuck these
except people. That we're not blind.
Yeah, here's the Women's March response. Essentially calling for them to remove the ad and all that, and apologize.
And, I watched the TYT's reaction where they had Hassan Piker, and he, as you don't know, Hassan Piker is actually Cenk Uygur's nephew, and he's like there, and, you know, he's completely more or less, you know, calm as you could necessarily be doing one of these reaction videos without, you know, completely without, you know, still being... understandably kind of pissed off until that last part that you talked about, the closed fist of truth part, comes out, which he just takes off his microphone, just screams, takes off a pillow and just screams fuck into it.
Yeah, like, the only way we save our country.
No.
Yeah, the whole phrase is, the only way we save our country and our freedom is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth.
Yeah.
They talk about I have to look up the whole text of what she says, but she talks about using the media to assassinate the truth.
Yeah, they've already done that.
Yeah, that she's accusing the left of using Hollywood and all that stuff to kill the truth.
Yeah, there's
all projection.
Yeah. There's just a point when you're, you know, like, you know what? I'm going to fucking call for it. I am expecting a French Revolution situation, probably, unless something happens to Donald Trump.
Mm.
Which I have been hearing people suggest that he may or may not end up just straight up resigning sometime next year once he gets bored of the job.
Yeah, so here's the whole text. They use their media to assassinate real news. They use their schools to teach children that the president is another Hitler. They don't. They use their movie stars and singers and comedy shows and award shows to repeat their narrative over and over again. Then they use their ex-president to endorse, quote-unquote, the resistance. All to make them march, make them protest, make them scream racism and sexism and xenophobia and homophobia, to smash windows, burn cars, shut down interstates and airports, bully and terrorize the law-abiding until the only option left is for the police to do their jobs and stop the madness. And when that happens, they'll use it as an excuse for their outrage. The only way we stop this, the only way we save our country and our freedom, is to fight this violence of lies with the clenched fist of truth. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place. Oh, yeah. Freedom's safest place. That's...
Wow.
Freedom's safest place, and yet they haven't said a goddamn thing about Philando Castile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they won't.
No.
Because,
It doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fuck these people.
Yeah. Screw them. I mean, I've already said... Let me tell you this. As a responsible... As myself who owns guns himself... knows how to use all of them, keeps them clean regularly. I just need to say, if you are a person who is a responsible gun owner, understand, the NRA doesn't actually represent you.
No.
They're a lobbying firm for the small arms manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of responsible, you know, any type of advocacy for responsible gun ownership, that went out the window decades ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll take your money. They just won't really care much about you.
Right. Yeah.
They'll take your money and they'll use your number to to bolster, again, their narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. Assholes of the week, NRA, fuck these people.
Okay.
Now, wash that taste out of our mouth. We actually have our hero of the week. And holy crap, did he deserve it. So our hero of the week is Brian Karam, who is a reporter for Playboy magazine, which, for the record, Playboy magazine actually does some great journalism.
Yeah.
And has for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's a whole meme about reading it for the articles.
Because the articles are actually worth reading, believe it or not. But... So, as everybody knows, you know, Sean Spicer isn't the, he isn't press secretary anymore.
that didn't last long.
No.
Wow.
And so he's been replaced by Mike Huckabee's daughter. What's her name? Sarah Huckabee?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, yes.
Whatever the fuckabee.
Yeah. And as you all know, there's been some more backlash, you know, obviously, against Trump for his tweets. And, of course, the Russian thing is still coming to a head. He is now currently under investigation by Robert Mueller. Him and his entire administration are, officially.
Yeah.
And obviously, the Trump people are not happy. And in this thing, while they were asking Mrs. Sanders questions, she brought up a now viral but kind of bullshit video from Project Veritas where they had talked to what was basically the producer for CNN Health, not politics, mind you, CNN Health, not politics, not major news, just CNN Health. And had him basically, you know, said that he didn't think there was anything to the Russia story, blah, blah, blah. Keep in mind, this is Project Veritas we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is James O'Keefe's organization, and they are notorious for editing, selectively editing video to fit their narrative. There was also a second one that recently came out where they were talking to Van Jones. And Van Jones himself said he thought the Russian thing was a big nothing burger. Of course, we don't know what exactly Russian thing he may be referring to. He could be talking about the Russian story, Russian collusion, Russian hacking, anything really. But anyway, so Sanders basically used that video. She said it's basically CNN is fake news and that you guys are doing a great disservice to us and trying to make us look bad. And then Brian Karam basically snapped, got up, and basically just laid into this woman. And basically did what I'm guessing most of them had wanted to do for a while now, but a lot of them are kind of sheep who are too scared to stand up for themselves, apparently.
Yeah.
And it took the fucking reporter from Playboy magazine to do it.
Man, what he said is really spot on. He says, come on, you're inflaming everybody right here, right now, with those words. This administration has done that as well. Why in the name of heaven, any one of us are replaceable, and any one of us, if we don't get it right, the audience has the opportunity to turn the channel or not read us. You have been elected to serve for 4 years at least. There is no other option than that. You're here to ask questions. You're here to provide the answers. What you just did is inflammatory to people all over the country who look at it and say, see, once again, the president is right. Everybody else out here is fake media. Everybody out here is only trying to do their job. Because she happens to have all the stupidity of Sean Spicer, but none of the tact. She just says whatever the hell she wants to say.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
and amazing that Sean Spicer has more of anything than anybody's amazing by himself. Yeah. He was a guy that was spinning apart in the last few months.
Yeah. And he basically just, you know, I talk a lot about how, you know, taboo breaking here. Yeah. And the way that shit works here in the U.S. is that everybody, when it comes to this shit, is just waiting for the next shoe to drop. Mm. You know, it like, and he basically broke it. You know, that thing about not standing up to the press secretary. Mm. You know, just dropping the politeness bullshit.
Let the games just begin.
Yeah. Oh, it's broken now. And I expect something else like this to happen again. Mm-hmm. Probably much sooner than we think. And it may not be him.
Especially if you pull on the thing where, like, oh, there's no video today.
Yeah.
There's no questions. Or, like, the person that spawned that original, like, rant by Sarah Huckabee Sanders was somebody from Breitbart.
Yep.
It was just lobbed him a softball about the fake news media because that's all they're good for.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Fuck Breitbart. Yeah.
Wow. But we do have
I need to say something, and it's kind of tangentially related to this, and it's, you know, we've talked about the Russia thing. There is a lot of Russia things surfacing lately. You know the old saying, where there's smoke, there's fire?
You freaking know it.
There's a whole lot of smoke right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
And this isn't simply smoke.
No.
This is like
This is fire. We don't need to look for clues of it. It's right there.
Yeah, this is like a brush fire in Southern California when there's no rain.
Yeah, so anyways.
It's getting pretty close to the houses. Those people in the houses should think about getting the hell out of there if they know it's good for them.
Yeah.
A good chunk of them are saying this is fine.
Yeah.
This is fine. We're okay with the events that are unfolding.
I definitely saw that GIF posted on Twitter in response to one of these things.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, for those who are wondering, just some recent news I just discovered. Apparently, 25 House Democrats are getting ready to sign, who are signing a paper to put in, and they're requesting to start the 25th Amendment process.
Ooh,
one that
didn't expect that to happen so soon.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this is just Democrats right now.
Yeah,
But... and just about 25 of them.
Hmm. Okay, I remember it. You know the big cyber attack that's going on in Ukraine and all that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was on Ukraine, the official Ukraine Twitter. They posted that everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Fire GIF. When that was hitting like a bunch of businesses in Ukraine, I was like, "That is whoever's running that account is awesome."
Yeah,
they know shit's messed up, but knows how to make good time out of it while they got the chance.
Yeah, it's like, never mind that our election got hacked. Never mind that our businesses are collapsing. Next point,
well, grocery stores in the middle of nowhere have their register software is attacked and
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What the hell?
But yeah.
Here's our memes. That's all we got right now, our memes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So and then for those who don't know, recently Trump decided to show his ass again when he saw apparently Morning Joe and Mina Brzezinski said something he didn't like.
Hmm.
And so he tweeted and he said, you know, if they hate me so much, why did her and Joe try to, you know, go to Mar-a-Lago for 3 days around New Year's Eve? And I said no. And she was bleeding badly from a facelift.
Yeah, he said inflammatory blood-related things about a woman before.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. This is probably the biggest outrage I've heard of people for him for a while. Like,
it's just building with him now.
And I keep thinking, like, what is it? I keep thinking every day, what if this is the thing that finally breaks it?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you know, there was so much shit that happened before that should have already broken it before. Like, just piles upon piles of shit.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking, is it going to be just something as minor as this that's finally going to snap?
Well,
I wonder, like, if for Trump supporters, it's like buying a car, and you're like, I love my Ford. My Ford is awesome. Muffler falls off. Oh, you know, shit happens. It's just maintenance. I love my Ford. My Ford is awesome. Transmission falls out. I still love my Ford. Ford is awesome. Yeah. And, you know, eventually,
just bottoms out completely.
Yeah, like one day the
on the freeway,
your fucking radio blows out, and you're like, "God damn it, that's it."
It's the sports fandom of politics.
Yeah,
where we only care about our team winning. We don't care if it's a good team, if it's the right people. As long as they win, that's all that matters.
Yeah. And the thing is, because he set up this narrative of the idea that the mainstream media is fake news, it's for a lot of his supporters, it's made this sort of impenetrable shield that any type of bad news about him can just be, you know, regulated to the fact that, oh, they're just trying to get at him again.
Yeah.
Which, for the record, they started doing that shit back when Bush was president. Yeah. It just didn't work as well.
Yeah.
It worked, but it wasn't as impenetrable.
Yeah. So.
So. Yeah.
There was less crazy internet out there to get into.
Yeah.
Then now that's there's a lot of that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can surround yourself with that if you want to.
Yeah. And like recently, this recent tweet storm he did, it actually got everyone from like, you know, Lindsey Graham, various House Republicans, just saying, "Dude, just stop. It's not. This is not helping you. It is beneath your office. We're just."
Yeah,
which I think helps.
They aren't even trying to say it's beneath him. They're just.
Mm-hmm. They always say it's beneath the office of president.
Yeah,
and that also helps a lot of the Republicans in Congress. They can say, "Well, we said this wasn't right for what the president did."
Yeah.
Even if they don't care.
Yep.
Yeah.
It allows them to be able to say, oh, we were opposed to his tweets.
Mm. Yeah.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, besides that, we also had another runner-up for Hero of the Week, which was John Tompain, who is an umpire for the Major League Baseball, he was in Pittsburgh, and he saw a woman that was trying to jump off a bridge and actually managed to, I guess, talk her down.
He grabbed her arm, wouldn't let her jump, and talked her down, got others to call 911 and all that, as well as other citizens coming in, just grabbing her on their ankles and whatnot so she couldn't jump. And just spent, I don't know how long, but at least enough time to sort of make sure she didn't do anything rash and talk her down.
Yeah.
They have a lot of his recollection of what happened. So he talks about her saying, "I just wanted to get a better look of the city from this side," meaning the other side of the bridge, jumping off. He said, "Oh, no, you don't want to do that. It's just as good over here. Let's grab some lunch and talk," as he hooked his arms around hers. She said, no, I'm better off on this side. Just let me go. I'm not going to let you go. Let's talk this out. We'll get you back over here. No one wants to help me. Just let me go. No, we're here to help you. You'll forget me tomorrow. I'll never forget you. You can have my promise on that." And basically a lot of stuff here about other people coming to help and all that. They eventually got her down. She got taken in an ambulance to get checked out and all that. And he talked about going back to his hotel and just having his adrenaline just racing. Trying to eat and then going off to the ballpark. Because that's what he was doing. He was on his way to the ballpark. But he suddenly had to save a 23-year-old woman from committing suicide.
Well, human decency at work.
Yeah.
It still exists.
Yeah. And he talks about here, you never know what someone's day looks like. It's a nice day, everybody's out for a walk, and somebody's not having the same day you're having. I was just glad to help.
Oh, yeah. So keep that in mind. Yes, human decency is still a thing. And the truth of the matter is that it's, despite what you might think, it's actually the norm.
Yeah.
We get sort of caught up in all the shit that happens in the world. We forget that the vast majority of humanity are good and do good things and want good to prevail and want to help other people.
Yeah.
It's just that the assholes screw it up for everyone else.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
Which is a great way to get into this cavalcade of
bullshit. All right, so now the proper show proper. As everybody knows, Trump has his infamous travel ban, where he basically bans people from, was it six or seven?
It's six now.
Six Muslim-majority nations, none of which have actually committed any kind of terrorism against the United States.
Nope.
And also especially excludes any place he has any business ties.
Yeah.
Well, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, basically did a something that's actually kind of odd. They didn't ban it, but they haven't actually let all of it necessarily go in effect either. What they've decided is they're going to let parts of it go into effect for, I think it was like 90 days.
Yeah.
So until October. And then they're going to review it again, and that's what's going to basically what's going to help their decision. So basically what they're doing is they're letting this go, but they're making it clear that they're watching. So there's two ways that this can basically go. Trump and company can try and play nice for the next 90 days. And then after the review goes through and they decide, all right, you know, he's shown that he's trying to do this correctly, we'll let it go. And then all the other shit kicks in. Or, and this is probably what I think is more than likely going to happen, Trump doesn't have any goddamn subtlety in his body, so he's going to go ahead and just let all the horrible shit go at first, and that's going to allow enough evidence for them to not only shut this down, but actually set precedent.
Yay for precedent.
Yeah, I guess part of this, let's see, Justice Clarence Thomas, writing for himself, and Justices Alito and Gorsuch would have stayed the injunctions in full, allowing full enforcement of the travel and refugee bans.
Shocking.
So yeah. They were all in favor of letting it all go.
Yeah.
But instead, the whole group at least agreed to that the injunction should be partially stayed.
Yeah. It's a compromise, basically. Yeah. Because they want to see, you know, how this is – they're going to – basically what it is they're letting parts of this go through just so they can see – really, that's the only way I can see it, is that they're doing it to gather evidence.
Yeah.
Like, the, you know,
canary.
Yeah, it's the canary in the coal mine kind of thing. They want to, okay, we're going to, it's basically like a probationary measure, basically.
You know, there's something like, okay, else, though?
What?
Mm-hmm. Who didn't Justice Thomas speak for?
Don't.
Who did he not
Chief Justice
for?
Roberts.
Mm. Mm.
He's been more of a swing vote than anyone expected in this court.
Yeah.
So
Roberts is the reason why. Well, Roberts is in fact the reason why gay marriage is now the law of the land in the United States.
Yeah.
It was his swing vote that allowed, you know, the Obergefell case to go through. But
yeah, now they're looking at that case of the cake, the wedding cake.
Yeah.
Colorado. That's somebody over there that was running a business blocked a gay couple from getting a cake, but that was before you knew they were gay.
Yeah.
Or had any like artistic part of the process to start.
Yeah.
So there's potential for that to at least mean something towards discrimination or against it, depending on how that goes.
Yeah. So anyway, so for the next 90 days, parts of this ban is in effect. There are allowances for close family. The problem, however, is those allowances excludes grandparents, fiancés, and aunts and uncles.
And I think the whole list is, let me see, does not include grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, brothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws, fiancés, any other extended family members. Those allowed are parents, including parent-in-law, spouse, child, adult son or daughter, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, sibling, whether whole or half. This includes step relationships.
I can kind of see the logic there.
I mean, we can at least be thankful that those exceptions are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, just kind of sucks
immediate
that.
Immediate family, but.
Kind of sucks
get
that.
Get married before you come over?
Yeah.
It just kind of sucks that the extended family kind of gets shafted.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I think there was a Twitter thing where people were posting pictures of their grandparents that wouldn't be allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff.
So, predictions on whether or not this is going to end up getting shut down in October?
Shut down.
Yeah.
Pretty high.
It's going to be a dumpster fire as soon as some of these start taking effect.
Yeah, I think the close family thing started last night. I think like 8 p.m. Eastern time.
That's what I'm hoping. And I hope that it'll be enough of a shit show that not only will they shut this down in October, but the precedent that they make will be ironclad.
Mm-hmm.
So that neither he or any of his sycophants can pull this shit again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love seeing dumbass Trump supporters. They're like, what have immigrants done for us as a country? It's like,
well, they founded it, for one thing.
Yeah, you know.
It's like, the whole point is that we let them get a new start here. And many of them have done great things here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's an immigrant.
Yeah.
One of our biggest movie stars.
Yeah.
That's what she wore, but...
New immigrants.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's like, hey, look at your wife, Trump.
She's, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
I was a little disturbed by something that she said in regard to his attack on the Joe woman, Mika.
He hits back 10 times harder.
Yes!
For a woman that's supposed to be fighting against cyberbullying.
She doesn't
think her husband is the bully in this.
Just, there's so much no. There's so much no, I can't even begin.
I think the Botox is starting to kill some of her brain cells.
Yeah.
She's just too indoctrinated.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't see... She buys into his paranoia that he's the victim of everything. You know, he's the president of the United States.
Yeah.
He's the most powerful person in the country.
The world, actually.
Well,
he's the most powerful person in the world. When you're the top person of the top economy in the world with the largest military and the most foreign influence, that literally makes you the most powerful person on Earth.
Did you see the approvals from other countries?
Oh, yeah.
Nearly every single country but, say, Israel, Russia, and there's one other country, I think, all went down.
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Saudi Arabia. I think it was some random country in, like, the Eastern Bloc. I forget which one, but...
I would not be surprised, and this is actually something I'm not sure it would ever happen, but it would not surprise me. What if the United States ends up getting sanctions from other countries?
No. That would be something to see.
Like, the thing is now, if Trump makes us so damn unpopular, I mean...
U.S. gets sanctioned. I think that 25th Amendment thing would go through pretty damn fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mexico went from 49% in favor of Obama... 5% in favor of Trump. Sweden
That's
went from 93% in favor of Obama to 10.
What?
It's an 83 difference. Whoa. It's like, holy shit, we love the U.S. Fuck the U.S.
Yeah,
they're showing the differences. Sweden, Netherlands, Germany, South Korea, France, Spain, Canada, U.K., Australia, Japan, Senegal. 50-point difference. The only positive ones, Russia, plus 42, Israel, plus 7.
Gee, I wonder why that is.
Let's see, any countries that still have a positive opinion of us? Philippines went from 94 to 69.
That's
Tanzania, not quite that positive. 78 to 51. Yeah. Kenya is 83 to 51. Ghana is 82 to
49.
Vietnam, 71 to 58. Nigeria, 63 to 58. Those are all like, we don't really care.
Yeah.
So, we're Nigeria. We don't give a shit.
We're Nigeria. We got our own shit to deal with.
Jordan went from 14 to 9. They didn't give a shit about anybody.
No.
So, Donald Trump making friends all over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Canada's especially easy considering that, you know, they can just compare him to who the current prime minister is.
Yeah. It's like, 83 to 22. It's like,
and keep in mind, Trudeau has had some problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Still does not make him...
Even Turkey is at 11. It's a fucking dictator that Trump adores.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, it's confidence in the U.S. president to do the right thing regarding world affairs.
Yeah. Not much confidence.
Nope. All right, so next up we've got a story from the AP. That's the Associated Press. So as we all know, there is the Trump care shit that's going on in Congress right now. They've been trying to get it up for another vote and failing.
And now Trump is pushing to just get rid of Obamacare, and they'll figure out the replacement later on.
Yeah. There, he's actually said, we'll just let Obamacare fail on its own, which will pretty much be Well, never, because apparently it's actually working okay.
Yeah.
It's actually very popular. And so Senator Pat Roberts, who is a senator from Kansas, was desperately trying to come up with an analogy to illustrate just how difficult the whole negotiations are. And he said, and he basically said this: once in Glacier National Park, I saw two porcupines making love. I'm assuming they produce smaller porcupines. They produce something. It has to be done carefully. That's what we're doing now.
They fact-checked this, whether it was true or not.
So. Facts. He is correct. It's tricky, but unlike lawmakers, porcupines have their mission figured out.
I love the way the media has started to just lambast the administration as a whole.
Yep. Porcupine's spines are an intimidating mechanism to protect the animals from predators. This is true. But when it comes time to mate, they have the ability to let down their defenses, said Duke University biologist Stuart M. God damn it, they actually had to.
Yep, they
reach
really
out to
went
a biologist
through.
About this shit. Courtship rituals can be aggressive, but when the animals have negotiated the art of the deal, I see what you did.
Nice.
The females relax and reposition their quills. It's not entirely different from people, Pim said. We humans are quite capable of arming ourselves with the most ferocious weaponry, but I don't take my broad axe to bed with me.
That's a great line. I don't take my broad axe to bed with me.
Yeah. That's great.
And they basically have more examples of stuff from such smart people as Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Rand Paul, Paul Ryan, Donald Trump, Kellyanne Conway. Yeah. All great people whose facts need to be checked out.
Yeah.
Rigors.
We'll let,
nothing as good as porcupine sex.
No. That took the cake right there.
Yeah.
So.
I can't believe they actually threw in that off of the deal bet.
Yeah.
And I'm 100%.
That's a quote from the biologist, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. So it is 100%. Not only
knew what he was doing.
Yeah. But anyway. So, next story we got here. Martin Shkreli, a.k.a. Pharma-douche.
Yeah.
We all remember him, right?
Yeah.
There are few human beings on this planet I really want to just hit in the face with a shovel more than I want than Martin Shkreli.
I kept seeing people say he's the most hated man in America. I was like, there's one more person more hated.
But it's close.
But if you want to go in the percentage of people that hate him in this country, it's easily in Martin Shkreli's favor.
I mean, there is absolutely – the man is incapable of not looking like a smug asshole.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's just his normal
just
expression.
Every photograph that he exists in.
And clearly the most punchable face in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't waste a shovel or a punch on him. I would throw a cup of coffee in his face, but it would be cold coffee with grounds in the bottom because he's not even deserving of a good cup of Joe.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as everybody knows, he is currently going to be put on trial for securities fraud. Here's the problem, though. They're having trouble getting a jury for him because apparently everybody just fucking hates him.
So and they say here, by the end of Monday, more than 130 prospective jurors have been dismissed for one reason or another, with 46 people left who had no immediate cause to be excused.
It's not one reason or another, it's one reason.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of them were also, like, they had things to do, like work or whatever that they could get off of, but there's a lot of great reasons in here.
Well, the overwhelming reason is that he's a giant bottle of Massengill douche.
Yeah, but the things that people said is great.
Yeah, read some of them.
Yeah, I think he's a very evil man, said one young woman in Brooklyn. She was questioned by Judge Kiyo Matsumoto out of Shkreli's earshot about her bias towards him. I don't think I can be fair. My opinion is pretty well formed, the woman said. I wouldn't want to serve on this jury. So she got dismissed. A male prospective juror said, I have total disdain for the man. A second man said, this is the price gouger of drugs. my kids are on some of these drugs.
Okay.
A third man said, he kind of looks like a dick.
I want to have a beer with that guy.
That is great.
Let's see. There was a woman that said I could never convict him because she believed the stock market is a scam with investors being knowing dupes.
Oh, my God.
So there's lots of people, and there's already the whole thing where people try to come up with ridiculous reasons to get out of jury duty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had in a man that so many people know. They had 46 people left who were told to come back the next day for further questioning, along with another 100 people. But, yeah, 130 people sent home because they were dismissed is amazing.
Well, it's like that that's going around. The great thing about this whole thing with Martin Shkreli is that it's brought us together. There is no left wing, there's no right wing, just the United States of fuck this guy.
Yeah, yes. They have to find 18 people, 12 jurors and 6 alternates.
Yeah. So
eventually they're just going to have to like declare a mistrial and move this thing to like Guam or something.
Yeah.
We need and as of jurors that have never heard of him before. Mm.
And as of this writing, they had not found anybody. I don't think I've seen any updates or anything like that.
Mm. Yeah, here's an idea. I mean, outsourcing has worked so well in the past, so maybe you could just outsource the legal system to India.
Yeah.
See, even then, though, a lot of folks in India do actually have internet access, and this douchebag is known all over the world.
So. They got some more quotes here. Early in the day, another prospective juror who was excused said of Shkreli, I know he's the most hated man in America. She said her parents are in their 80s and are struggling to pay for their medications, including her dad's cancer drug, which costs more than $1,000 per month.
God.
A middle-aged woman, who likewise was excused, said that when she walked into court Monday morning, I looked right at him, and in my head I said, he's a snake. After the woman walked off to the side of the while lawyers and the judge discussed her comments, Shkreli's lawyer, Braffman, quipped, so much for the presumption of innocence. Soon after she was excused for bias, another woman said, referring to Shkreli raising price of the drug, which is used to treat pregnant women, infants, and people with HIV and AIDS, who does that? A person who puts profit ahead of everyone else. The woman then mimicked wringing the neck of Shkreli, who was sitting a dozen or so feet away. Like they couldn't hear words of the judge.
She's coming to the bar, too.
Yeah.
A potential male juror was excused when he said of Shkreli, from everything I've read, I believe the defendant is the face of corporate greed in America. You'd have to convince me he's innocent. Well, he was excused. Another man who claimed that both his parents were using Daraprim, which would be unusual, said, I had also friends with HIV and AIDS. You can't afford this drug. It's in the back of my mind the whole time. He was also excused for bias. One woman asked the judge several times, is this the person who raised the charge of the EpiPen?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been told this case has nothing to do with EpiPen.
That wasn't him.
No, that was that woman. What's her name?
The woman said emotionally, I have three children who depend on EpiPen. So
he isn't the EpiPen. He is the guy. It was an HIV treatment drug that was actually, until recently, actually pretty cheap.
She's still gonna identify there.
She can identify. I guess he had others that were excused because of the confusion with EpiPens, but still the bias against that sort of stuff.
So here's the thing I think everybody needs to realize. The shit that Martin Shkreli did is actually kind of par for a course for a lot of what Big Pharma does. The reason he in particular is getting it is because he basically represents only himself. He's basically an individual that you can lay all this shit on.
Yeah, he didn't stay under the radar.
Yeah.
No.
And
Big Pharma has one virtue, it's that they're really good at being able to stay in the background. Martin Shkreli is just a big enough of a sociopath that pretty much everything he does is meant to show that he really just hates people.
Yeah.
He loves the fact that he's super rich and that he can lord it over everyone.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm expecting this guy to be elected president of the United States within the next few decades. If somebody doesn't straight up hang his ass while he's in jail first.
Yeah. So. Blah.
Yeah. Yeah. They even mention just cutting off jurors when they
notice what they're saying. Well, isn't security fraud a felony?
Yeah, I think it is. Yes, yeah. It is.
Yes, securities fraud is a felony.
Hmm.
Yep.
So they will. He will not be going to.
He will not be president.
No. Not only that, he will not be going to Club Fed either.
Nope. So
they are going to throw him into Pound Me in the Ass prison, and it's not a fun time in Pound Me in the Ass prison. Warden's kind of a dick.
If you know what I mean.
I think you've just killed Patrick.
And no, the end of this article sort of goes on about how Shkreli said he was cash broke, but he's free on a $5 million bail. Claims his client, his lawyer says his client is worth tens of millions of dollars from his ownership stake in Turing. So they even don't know how much he's worth.
Yeah.
Probably trying to claim he's poor, but he's not.
No, that's not going to work.
Oh.
So.
Anyway, so, all right, moving on from there, talking about more money shit. Google, big giant, has been hit by a massive antitrust fund to the tune of $2.7 billion over their shopping comparison tools.
Yeah. That's quite a lot of money.
Wow. Yeah.
Especially for one thing about those shopping comparison tools.
Yeah, they all lead back to shit with Google.
Well, that's the allegation, but you know what the current status of them is?
What?
They don't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically what this was they had a shopping comparison engine called Frugal.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that.
Yeah, so they were doing that. Apparently, the allegation is that Google was preferring its own results over other competitors' results. Of course, there could be some validity there because the way that those results worked were they were paid ads, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it showed the results from the client who paid the most.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how that's relevant to this case, but okay.
Yeah.
So basically, they are, of course, I think they're appealing it, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're
appealing. Yeah, they say we respectfully disagree with the conclusion that's announced today. We review the commission's decision in detail as we consider an appeal, and we look forward to continuing to make our case.
Yeah. Yeah, what this really is basically a difference in culture in the UK, well, the UK, the EU, and the US.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
EU's antitrust laws are kind of there to protect a market.
Yeah.
Whereas antitrust laws in the US is, you know, a screwed up.
Non-existent, basically.
Well, they do exist, but they're there to protect the consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of a bend-don't-break kind of rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really a very different culture. To them, you know, the EU sort of is, but culturally they're okay with the idea of sensible regulations.
Yeah.
And in the U.S., unfortunately, because of the way that our government has been corrupted by big money, that regulation has basically turned into a dirty word.
Hmm. Yeah, so...
Yeah, and the fine itself, it represents just over 2.5% of Google's revenue last year.
Hmm.
They could have gotten hit by as much as 10% of that revenue, which would have been about $9 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, if this ends up standing, Google's going to have to change the way they do business in the EU completely.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it's kind of a mess.
And mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently the EU really doesn't like big corporations. That's and the entire sentiment I got when I read the whole thing was Yeah, the EU kind of wants its own Google to succeed, but if a company gets too big and becomes successful, then they get slapped.
They got certain rules that they have to play by.
Unfortunately, they don't actually disclose what those rules are.
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's like that whole, I don't know what pornography is. I'll know pornography when I see it thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Yeah, Google is, they have good lawyers. This will probably end in a very unexpected way. Just ask Spain.
Yeah.
Remember what happened there?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on from there, Oscar Mayer, of course, everybody's one of everyone's favorite hot dog and ham processed meats manufacturers.
Yes.
One of their most famous things that they came up with is the Wienermobile, the big, giant, hot dog shaped truck, car, motorcycle.
Yeah, they've got a whole fleet of vehicles now.
Mm. Yeah.
Including like a weird RC wiener that drives around, I guess.
Yeah. Usually they drive these around, give out hot dogs, usually by a dude dressed as a chef.
Mm.
And, you know, it's worked. I mean, it's basically, you want to talk about successful marketing, right. You know.
Yeah, it's been working for years.
And now they've come out with the Wiener Drone.
Because, of course, they did.
And it's coming to airdrop wieners on you.
There's no way this could possibly go badly.
Oh, the prank potential.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of limitations to this thing, so it's obviously custom-made.
Hmm.
Weighs about 6.5 pounds. Can fly around for about 15 minutes, about a mile, before it needs to land and recharge.
Mm-hmm.
And it has enough power to carry a single wrapped hot dog. So it's not going to be able to do much coverage.
Yeah, so it's a very, very localized wiener delivery.
And they probably put so much money into this.
And as they joke here, there's no details on condiment capacity. So you might not be able to have this in Chicago without causing riots.
It's for wiener drones.
There's no stuff on the wieners.
Of the sky.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
I thought it was only tacos.
Yeah. Well, in other food news, the Pride of Canada, Tim Hortons, for Canada Day, they're actually coming out with a poutine donut, but it's only for the U.S. restaurants.
I wish we had we were getting a Tim Hortons instead of a Krispy Kreme right next to my apartment.
Yeah, poutine donut. This is like weaponized.
Yes.
It's
health miscare.
Yeah,
health miscare. Yeah,
it's basically
it's exactly
Canada
what
that you can
think
hold
it
in your hand.
Yeah,
I guess it's only in 5 specific locations: Derby, New York; Hamburg, New York; East Aurora, New York; Rochester Hills, Michigan; and Columbus, Ohio.
All right along the border.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
The Aurora thing doesn't surprise me. Especially if you ever watch Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Hey, the anniversary's
Aurora,
coming
Illinois?
Up.
That's true, right? Eh?
That's Illinois.
Yeah, it is. The anniversary is coming up. I'm not sure if I'm going yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But
25 years. I cannot freaking believe it.
Yeah. If you're old now.
I seriously discovered a lot of my favorite bands because of that movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the whole reason Queen's popular in the U.S. is because of Wayne's World.
Well, I mean, Queen...
Well, they were popular already, but they...
They were not as popular as they were when...
No, man, I grew up listening to them. They were played on top 40 radio because my
mom... Yeah, back in the 70s and 80s, they were still very big.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were...
But here's the thing, though. It brought it back.
Yeah.
It did.
It made them... huge.
Yeah.
It did. And then later on, Mike Myers brought back Burt Bacharach. He kind of likes doing this shit. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I mean, I discovered Alice Cooper because of that movie.
Yeah. He was great.
Oh yeah, he's amazing in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy listening to his radio show.
Hmm. Yeah, Alice Cooper has an awesome radio show for those
where
you don't
know. Came up with an idea for a toilet that would analyze your poop and recommend recipes.
That's Internet of Things.
That's the sort of thing an aging rock star would come up with in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
On a radio station.
Or a San Francisco startup.
Yeah. Anyway, so
there's blood in your stool. I can't recommend any recipes for that, but please seek medical attention.
Yes.
More fiber. More fiber.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Eat some prunes.
Yeah. We had another restaurant story. A restaurant was going to be holding a party for a book release until they found out who the author was. It was Milo.
And then they said, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they initially thought it was going to be like a pride, gay pride event, because it's a restaurant that is particularly receptive to those, to the LGBT community.
Yeah, but you got to remember that Milo kind of uses that to sort of pinkwash all the horrible shit that he says.
Yeah,
he says it was easier to come out as gay than come out as conservative.
Yeah, bullshit. The dude was a – that's bullshit because the dude was a dude from a conservative Catholic school. Everybody knew he was already.
Right. He also says he's only gay because he got tired of bitchy women.
Yeah.
He didn't want to hear – deal with bitchy women. Yeah. So he became gay.
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah, so yeah, fuck that guy. Yeah. I am glad, though, that dude is actually pretty slowly already fading into...
Yeah.
Irrelevance.
Yeah.
Of course,
some of his followers said that, you know, that the restaurant canceling it was censorship. Of course, that is not what it was at all.
Yep.
The guy that runs the restaurant said, I had no idea this was booked. It was told to us it was a gay pride event.
Yeah, so they actually lied to him.
And then Milo, when he hit back after the cancellation, said angry, bitter leftists have seized control over the pride celebration. Made it a political statement against President Trump. I am throwing a party for the outcasts, the rebels, and the gay conservatives who speak, think, and live free of liberal demands.
No, you're not doing any of that.
Oh.
Yeah, he had to self-publish his book because nobody wanted to...
nobody wanted to touch it.
Oh, they were going to touch it. He had a very big book deal, but then the shit with, you know, when he basically advocated for child molestation...
Yeah, that would
especially in Catholic churches.
Yeah, that would kind of turn you off pretty quickly.
Speaking of which, by the way, those of you don't know, the number three person in the Vatican is now having to face child sex charges in Australia.
Oh,
yeah.
But anyway, so
yeah, that was our first step on the crazy train.
Yeah. So I am hoping that at some point somebody just straight up hits Milo with a shovel. Just. Something that he can finally...
Apparently Mike Cernovich was at an alt-right rally and somebody punched him.
Oh, that's good.
Unfortunately, nobody got it on video.
Nobody got it on video, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it doesn't exist.
Because I'm pretty sure if that person did, two things would happen. All the alt-right would want them dead, and the other rest of the world would try to hup them up on their shoulders and parade through the streets, you know, confetti, a ticker tape parade.
It'd be a celebration on Twitter.
Yeah.
But anyway, so next up, so there's been this, once again, we got to talk about Alex Jones and InfoWars as much as we wish we couldn't, because unfortunately this dude has the ear of President Trump.
And he's on 118 radio stations nationwide. I don't know how the hell that happens.
Well, because there's a lot of stupid-ass radio stations in Bufu, Texas.
And also because... You know, they got to fill up something on AM radio. Seriously, you go through parts of the U.S. There are literally parts of the U.S. where you turn on the radio, the only thing that you will see is either, you know, ding 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 ding, or "And Jesus said," and that's basically all of it.
Jesus. There's always that at the end of it.
Yes.
Please send money.
So,
but anyway, so Alex Jones had this douchebag on who was claiming that NASA was kidnapping children and sending them to a slave colony on Mars.
So it was a 20-year ride, which is not how long it takes.
Yeah, that's not how space works.
That's like a 6-month voyage.
Yeah. Not that far away, people.
Yeah.
I mean, it is far away, but not 20 years worth.
No, it's not 20 years.
Here's the thing that Alex Jones always pulls. He says, he'll say stuff like, I've had people on that will discuss things. I may not agree with him. Of course, the thing is, he never says anything back with this bullshit. He just sort of lets it percolate for a while. That's how that whole Pizzagate bullshit happened, when he tried to sort of like, he said, no, I've had people on there, you know, like when the Sandy Hook shit, when he was having the interview, I think it was Megyn Kelly. And, you know, it was, he's saying like, you know, it's like, I've had people on both sides of that. And of course, no, he did at one point straight up say that he thought Sandy Hook was a false flag. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, so NASA basically had to go forth and devalue itself in order to head off this bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a guy named Guy Webster, who's a spokesperson for the Mars exploration stuff at NASA. Basically, he put out a statement saying, there are no humans on Mars, there are active rovers on Mars. There was a rumor going around last week that there weren't. There are. But there are no humans. Yeah. You can tell he just didn't want to put any effort into this.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't believe I have to even tell people this.
Fucking Alex Jones, do I actually have to write this?
Yeah, so the thing that this idiot said, what's his name? So the last name is Steele. I don't know what the rest of it is, but he said, we actually believe that there is a colony on Mars that's populated by children who are kidnapped and sent to space on a 20-year ride. They wouldn't be children if they were actually completed that ride. so that once they get to Mars, they have no alternative but to be slaves on the Mars colony. Jones echoed Steele. And Jones echoed Steele, saying, clearly they don't want us looking into what is happening, because every time probes go over, they turn them off. I don't know what the fuck that means. There are no probes on Mars.
Oh, there's rovers.
There are rovers, yeah.
Some of them are tweeting.
I know that 90% of the NASA missions are secret, and I've been told by high-level NASA engineers that you have no idea. No, they're telling you have no idea of what you're talking about.
Yes.
He continues, there's so much stuff going on. So he read into that in a completely different way than what the normal person told him. If there was a normal person that told him anything. That's likely that they weren't told anything. And they just go on like the Pizzagate stuff about the child sex ring in the basement of a DC shop. Pizza shop that had no basement.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't let facts get in the way of your narrative.
Yeah. And anyway. Mike Cernovich, because of course pedophilia does not stop with sodomizing children. It goes straight into terrorizing them to adrenalize their blood and then murdering them. It also includes murdering them so that they can have their bone marrow harvested as well as body parts. This is really dark stuff, but also so ridiculous it's hilarious.
What the fuck damage did he have when he was younger?
Yeah, that's part of the guy that's saying they sent them into space. Says Steele alleged that the kidnapped children were not only being kidnapped for space labor, but also murdered for their blood and bone marrow. That's such a ridiculous sentence I just said. It's written in this article. Alleged the kidnapped children were not only being kidnapped for space labor, but also murdered for their blood and burnt bone marrow.
What?
Yeah, that is a thing that he said.
That is a thing that's written down on this website.
Oh my god.
That's not even a quote. That's just a description of what this person said. This is the original growth hormone, said Jones.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Okay, NASA, When NASA's Webster was asked about the veracity of the one rumor by the Daily Beast on Thursday, he responded, "There's only one stupid rumor on the internet. Now that's news."
Why, you know, when we were kids, we didn't have to ask if the National Enquirer Bat Boy was real. I mean,
that was Weekly World News.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I also remember that.
Wasn't find out much better. About the whole history of the Bat Boy family. There is.
Yeah.
I've looked this up. It is great.
You know what?
They've been
great?
Going back since the 1500s. Artemis Pipbo.
Nice.
I'm going to post a link in this because...
Yeah, that Bat Boy thing actually was like one of the pre-internet memes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they think the current Bat Boy is the last of his kind.
Okay.
Anyway, so next up we got some VidCon YouTube drama. All right, so Anita Sarkeesian was taking part in a poll about, you know, women doing content on the internet. Well, she was on a panel. Yeah, I don't know why I called it a poll. And she was there, and apparently guess who was at the front row in attendance? None other than Sargon of Akkad and his gang of sycophants.
Yeah, the weird thing about this article is they just call him Carl Benjamin by his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't reference Sargon, so I didn't connect the two.
Yeah.
But he got a bunch of him and his cronies to apparently take over the first few rows of at least this one section of the panel.
Yeah.
Audience.
Sargon of Akkad is basically proof that you can be a complete fucking moron, but if you have a posh British accent, people will think you're smart.
And they'll pay you to harass people.
Yeah. Since Sargon of Akkad is not as smart as he tries to make himself out to be. He is fucking stupid. But he has this way about him that it makes him seem like more of a studious sort of scholarly type person, which he is very much not.
Especially if you search for his namesake, you no longer get the original source.
Yeah.
No.
You get him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, there actually was a person named Sargon of Akkad. For those who don't know, the image that he previously used when he started out, in fact, turned out to not be Sargon of Akkad. It was a sculpture of someone who may have been in his family, which is why he now uses that, you know, sort of cartoony-looking face instead of what he used to. But he is basically a sort of YouTube cult leader that has sort of shown up in the quote-unquote skeptic community.
And was a big part of Gamergate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. Well, they showed up at that VidCon panel.
Mm-hmm.
And
she basically just straight up, I mean, she had
fire.
They had a couple people coming up as like, you know, basically questioning if Anita actually believed any of the stuff she was talking about. She does. Here's the thing I've realized. A lot of these people have not actually watched any of her videos.
No.
Because despite what Anita's reputation is as like this bloodthirsty, man-hating feminazi, if you actually watch her videos, they're actually pretty middle of the road.
Yeah, sort of good entry-level feminist critique.
Yeah. And she always makes the... Like, I remember she was talking about, you know, like... the idea of violence in games. She's like, it's not necessarily that violence doesn't have a place in games or in art or that necessarily has anything to do with real world violence. It's just something to think about. But, you know, the alt-right doesn't work in subtleties.
Yeah, you said a phrase there that the alt-right doesn't really do something to think about. They don't actually think. So,
no.
Yeah. But yeah, crap, what about...
Yeah, you should get to the way she addressed these people.
Oh yeah, she called them a garbage human.
Yeah.
And she basically said, if you Google my name on YouTube, you get shitheads like this dude who are making these dumbass videos. They just say the same shit over and over again. I hate to give you attention because you're a garbage human. These dudes just making endless videos that go after every feminist over and over again is part of the issue of why we have to have these conversations. And the crowd loved it with whoops and hollers and cheers.
Pretty
and all
much
that.
Blew the roof off the place.
Yeah. Except for Sargon and his group of sycophants who just had to sit there and.
And they were playing victim.
Front and center, not awkward at all.
So basically, they went and complained to the Green Brothers. You know, Hank and.
How did that turn out for them?
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Yeah, so who are the two? I know Hank and. What's the other one?
Can't recall.
It was Hank Green and. God, I gotta look this up.
Yeah.
Hold on. Old for editing.
If you want to continue, they've got some quotes from the video these guys made.
Yeah, so it's
sort of admitting to the whole thing.
Okay, it's Hank Green and his brother John Green.
Okay, good.
Yeah, John Green is the author. I forgot the ones. They both started VidCon, but yeah. So they went to the Green Brothers, and Hank Green basically went, and he went and talked to Anita. And the thing is, Anita technically did break one of their cardinal rules, which is that...
Epically.
Yeah, she basically sort of, I guess, incited, not necessarily violence, but ill will against a person in the crowd.
Yeah.
The problem is that... People hate Sargon so goddamn much that they were actually willing to let her get away with it. So she didn't really get any...
The audience isn't supposed to be harassing the panelists either.
Yeah. And there's something else, though, that I think a lot of people forget. When you're going into something like this, whether you're an audience member or a panelist, there's prior reputation.
Yeah.
If this person is sitting there... Right in the front row, you know he's
and
not
filming,
and they're filming. He's waiting for a juicy soundbite from Anita.
Oh,
certainly
yeah, these
got
people
one.
Had their phones out to make video. That needs to be pointed out.
Yeah, it's so they're not there to discuss. They're not there to forward the conversation. They're just there to make trouble.
Yeah, and so obviously these people put out videos, sort of putting out their side of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one was done by somebody named Dave Cullen. I don't know what his YouTube name or any of that is, but he has a Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
About $3,000 a month he makes. Mm-hmm. 240,000 subscribers on YouTube. In the video he said, we carefully organized this so on one side of the audience, we could all make up the top three rows. We would all be sitting there filming it before naming several allies. Anita spoke, and they were asking about why is it important to still have women talking about sexism or some victim bullshit in games.
Mm-hmm.
He repeatedly claims the group is there to engage with Sarkeesian, but later he says something very different. We had a blast with this. It was such an adrenaline high to be there in a situation to shitpost in this trolling kind of way. He goes on to claim there was no malice, quote-unquote no malice, in their actions, and that it was playful. So Pauline Gunn sent this comment to Sarkeesian asking for a response. And she said, hearing the honesty in that comment is weirdly almost kind of validating. Because of course we know it's true. We've always known it's true that for them this is a kind of game. But mm-hmm. they constantly deny it. They're playing for fun. For them it's a thrill to use the power they have under patriarchy to try to keep women in their place. To try to intimidate or silence women who dare speak. Who dare to speak out and assert their humanity and the right to exist as full human beings in these spaces. They don't give a damn about the actual impact they have on people's lives, the sport, and adrenaline rush. But for me and for other women who are targeted by cyber mobs, who endure ongoing campaigns of harassment, it's not fun, it's scary, it's traumatic. So there's a lot more of it, too.
Yeah, it's a really long article. It's a good read, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, if you want to see... the length that these people have gone to harass her over the years.
Yeah.
Or people in general, really. Colin's video also includes footage of a group of supporters in an animated move after the event, celebrating while at the same time expressing outrage that Benjamin had been called out. Mm. One of them jokes that he watches LGBT videos online. He likes the lesbian ones best. He laughs at his own joke. They talk about how they call themselves shitlords.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. VidCon has a code of conduct listed on its website, which requests that speakers are treated with respect. It asks that attendees refrain from activity that causes excessive discomfort to our attendees and guests. As pranks often make for some great videos, but it makes us really sad when they are emotionally or physically hurtful, so don't do that. If we hear about anyone pranking in ways that are disruptive to the well-being of our guests or attendees, there's a pretty strong chance that we'll get the prankster kicked out. They say, as far as they know, nobody's been kicked out. Polygon contact VidCon to seek further clarification. They received an auto reply that the team is on vacation, but they released a statement later on. It's difficult to imagine that this group of people who are aware that their channels have been base camps for years of harassment of some of our panelists did not realize arriving early to fill up three front rows was going to be intimidating. In any case, it looked like intentional intimidation to most people in the attendance, and panelists were understandably on edge throughout the discussion.
Yeah, and that's
and they go on to say,
where,
like,
that's where
these guys look. And they go on to say, like, in this article, just that they know that these guys are basically paid victims, essentially. They love to, they obviously get paid to harass, but anytime they bark back, they will play the victim card so hard.
And that's and what I was going to say, but is that's one thing that VidCon kind of wasn't really prepared for, it looks like. They basically let that, you know, essentially happen as it was, and then through the Q&A sessions that they had, the first one kind of went badly, but then they had to start screening, so it's like, VidCon seems responsive to this sort of thing, but I don't think they were really prepared for the lengths that these assholes would go to.
There is at least to me, one saving grace at all this, is, and it's the realization, the knowledge that at the end of the day, the alt-right is a fad.
Just like fidget spinners.
Yeah.
And just like any other fad, it will eventually burn itself out.
Yeah, and there's a great paragraph that just is a sign of what this whole thing was. Is about one of the Q&As in that first panel. Another man stood up to ask, "Why do you guys act like only women face harassment online? The claim that women," this is their own article, "the claim that women are the only victims of harassment, so far as we can tell, has never been made by Sarkeesian. When he was booed by the audience and asked to sit down, the man claimed that he was being harassed."
That's not how harassment works.
No.
No, but anytime anybody tells them to shut up, they always claim they're being harassed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or that they're the real sexist.
But anyway.
And she has a great statement here. "They can skip right to bashing my ideas, and their followers will eat it up no matter what I say. It's a losing game. I'm not going to change anyone's minds debating with any of them. More importantly, I shouldn't have to debate the fact that I'm a human being who deserves basic respect, and in fact, that is in itself a core issue with all of this. How degrading and exhausting it is just to have to keep arguing for and fighting for and begging for your own humanity." Because that was a big part of this, is them just saying, "Debate me. Do we just want to debate the topic."
Yeah, that's
like, she,
they call this, they have a word for, they actually have a word for that now. It's called sea lioning.
Yeah.
It's basically when you're constantly trying to play the prop, the it's when you say something. You either you say something shitty or somebody says something that's usually normal and you are being a shitlord, and so basically you're trying to play the proper debate game.
Yeah.
When in reality all that you're trying to do is, well, it's just another form of harassment, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, it's all in bad faith. You have no intention of actually trying to debate, of they have no intention of actually trying a proper debate with you. They're just trying to
And she talks about here, "I used the first question as an opportunity to let them and the audience know what was happening, as far as these guys taking up the first few rows and all that." And also she talks about here later, "So many of us have spent so long internalizing this expectation that we don't confront this kind of abuse directly. We don't openly acknowledge it. We suffer it in silence. And these men just go on spewing their bullshit without any consequences. The whole idea of don't feed the trolls a really stupid thing to do on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it just punishes the person getting harassed and lets the other person, the harasser, just keep on doing whatever they want without consequences.
That's a good point.
Because unfortunately, there is no way to directly deal with trolls.
Not until Twitter started giving us block options, things like that.
Yeah. Or you can track them down and find out where they live.
Yeah.
Yeah, they shut it up pretty quickly when that happens.
Yeah, this isn't like having a 2-year-old that's just screaming. You can just endure it because eventually they'll get tired and stop.
Yeah.
These are grown men who can make countless YouTube videos telling people to go harass you and dox you and find out your information and take it personally.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to finally move off from the serious shit. We're going to talk about the entertainment news. So, first of all, for those of you who don't know, Netflix canceled Sense8, which kind of sucks because it was actually a pretty awesome show. But in order to wrap up the story, they have announced that they're going to be putting out a 2-hour finale special.
That'll be next year.
Yep. Mm.
So that's pretty cool for those fans. They don't have to deal with a cliffhanger.
Yeah. And so also, the timing wouldn't really hurt anything because J. Michael Straczynski is writing the Forbidden Planet remake. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Don't fuck it up, dude.
Yeah,
because the original film is like a serious classic. You gotta be careful.
Yes, do not screw that up. And also don't screw up the finale Sense8, because then people will be unhappy.
Oh, yeah. But, all right, so, you know, you gotta at least give Netflix is that they actually act better than your average television network. So,
yeah, most televisions I would just cancel it and be done with it, but Netflix is like, no, we need to finish this. So,
anybody want to see if they'll give Joss Whedon a call? Because maybe he'll be able to finally get one of his TV shows to run to its proper conclusion that isn't Buffy related.
I
don't think I need to guess which one you're talking about.
Isn't that being remade?
Firefly?
Yeah.
I was actually talking about House of Dolls, but...
I'm
kidding. Of course I was talking about Firefly.
I don't know
if it was...
There's supposed to be some sort of something coming out. At least so the rumor mill says.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's busy with Batgirl right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, so now we got a movie. Wonder Woman has become the highest grossing live-action film ever directed by a woman.
You know what the record holder was before this?
What was it?
Mamma Mia.
Yep.
Wow.
$609.8 million.
That's been a while.
God, that movie was awful.
Yeah, that was the picture of the peak of women directing, essentially. Yeah,
that was.
Yeah, that was bad.
It wasn't the Hurt Locker? It was Mamma Mia.
Yeah. And now we have Wonder Woman, which, from what I can tell, is really good.
Is actually very, very good.
I need to see it, but time has not allowed.
And they still haven't signed Patty Jenkins to direct the sequel yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll happen.
Although there has been some controversy, not necessarily about the movie, but about Gal Gadot herself. Because Gadot is everybody knows Gadot is Israeli, right?
Yeah.
So as you can probably guess,
mean you're pronouncing her name wrong?
Probably. But anyway, her being Israeli, obviously, you know, that in and of itself is going to cause some conflict, some controversy. But she's also people don't know, she's also very much a devout Jew. And she was, you know, that picture of her with her daughter celebrating Yom Kippur. And, you know what? Just Google it for yourself and look it up because it's a little complicated. But it has to do with the Mideast, you know, the Gaza bullshit. But anyway, don't let that take away.
Really want to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't let that take away from this, because this is a pretty big deal for film history.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and also DC finally had a good DC movie, and it just happened to be Wonder Woman that ended up doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, to be fair, Wonder Woman was the one that they had to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this whole cinematic universe for the DC's attempting would just probably dissipate right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say
they needed a win. They had to win with this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to say it's on pace to outtrack all the other DC movies in this DC universe.
That's not setting the bar very high.
Yeah, but
the others did really well despite their quality.
Mm. The fact that it was actually directed by what was basically an unknown.
Yeah. Well, she's known now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
unknown that's won awards, many of them, for Monster.
Mm.
But apparently did so well, she didn't get any other gigs for 14 years.
anyway. Speaking of DC movies, Matt Reeves, who is now currently the director for The Batman, wants to do what he calls a noir-driven detective version of Batman. So basically the Golden Age Batman.
All right. I'm all for this.
Yeah, I'm all for that. That sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
this interview with IGN, he's very much talking about this being early on in this process. And seems to liken Batman a lot to Caesar from the Planet of the Apes movies. Let's see, both characters who are tortured and trying to sort of grapple within themselves to find a way to do the right thing in a very imperfect and to some degree corrupt world.
Hmm.
So it's really that emotionality that he is interested in.
Yep.
Hmm. I'm okay with this. I want to see this.
Yeah.
Especially in The Batman, which is one of the better alternate Batman series that I've seen.
Anyway. Let's hope he pulls it off. Yeah. But now we got some trailers. We got three trailers this week. First up, a movie that looks far better than it has any right to be. A Jackie Chan, Pierce Brosnan vehicle called The Foreigner. Yeah. It's actually based on a novel called...
Chinaman.
Yeah, called The Chinaman by...
I wonder why they changed the name.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who the author is, because he's actually fairly recent. He's still very much alive and making books, but... basically what it is, it's about this dude who's a businessman in London.
It's Stephen Leather.
Hmm.
Even 11, yes.
Author.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's this gentleman named Quan, who is a middle-aged, elderly Chinese businessman, sort of meek, having his... It was his daughter, I think, who dies in...
Teenage daughter dies in politically motivated terrorism.
Yeah. Mm. In the original book, it's the IRA that...
Mm. that does, the IRA was a while ago, so...
Yeah.
Mm.
And so he is trying to get, Pierce Brosnan's character, who is, I guess, I can't remember if he's like the chief of police or...
He's in the British government.
Yeah, he's trying, it's like he knows who the bombers are and he's trying to find out who they are.
Yeah, he knows that he has some history with the bombers.
Yeah, which basically makes me think that, yeah, this is definitely going to be... either IRA or UDA related.
Hmm.
So if it's not the Irish Republican Army, it's the Ulster Defense Association.
Yeah. Hmm.
But AKA the related to, by the, those who don't know, the Democratic Unionist Party, the far right party that the conservatives in London had to make their coalition with after they got a thumping by Labor Party. So and so basically he's like, you know, he's trying constantly to get them to find out who he is. At one point I think he even sets off a bomb of his own making to just show he's serious, and then kind of goes on his own little roaring rampage of revenge.
Yeah, it kind of seems like Jackie Chan's Taken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And the big difference, and here's the thing, other than this is, like, I think in, as far as Western films go, this is his first, like, dramatic role.
Yeah, he's done comedies in the past, but this is definitely his first serious one that I know of.
Yeah. I mean, so there are very few reasons to watch that Karate Kid remake with Jaden Smith, but he actually was the one bright spot in that movie. Was Jackie Chan. He actually showed that he had some dramatic acting chops.
Yeah.
So, like, he looks really good in this movie.
Yeah.
And holy crap, this might be his comeback.
Yeah. Let's hope so. He's
it looks like he has some pretty good stunt stuff as well.
Yeah, he's 63, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Still doing his own stunts too, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, here him and Pierce Brosnan are getting up there.
Mm. Yeah. And
I could see having some good comedy in it too with those two involved.
It could, but it doesn't look like that's what we're going to be getting.
There's kind of a bit of humor of Jackie Chan just like, I want their names. Give me their names.
Yeah.
Just being kind of that blunt foreigner.
Yeah.
Who you know, his sort of thing is that his he's not that good with English. Of course, those who know Jackie Chan actually can speak English pretty well. But
yeah, he's having to put it on here.
Yeah. But yeah, so holy crap, this movie actually looks really good.
Yeah.
And hell, hope it works. Hope it works out. It comes out, I think, in October.
Christmas, it says. No, October. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have got. Oh God, I can't believe this came. This came back.
it did.
This okay. I have to say it because I know you guys are thinking it. This looks like the dumbest thing I have ever seen.
Is already a remake of something that was phenomenally stupid to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But about halfway through the trailer, it goes from being like the dumbest thing in the world to the most awesome thing in the world.
Yeah. There's no way I'm not going to go watch this. It's like it was made for the kids who grew up watching the original movie. Well, not the original movie, but, you know, the 80s, 90s movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. For those of you who don't know, we're talking about Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
And
now, back when I was a kid. Yeah, go ahead.
They go all in on that name because they play Guns N' Roses throughout the whole trailer. It's like that's the only reason they named it that.
Yeah. So, those of you who don't know, back when we were kids, there was this movie called Jumanji. It was a Robin Williams vehicle. Mm-hmm. It was basically about this board game that they discover, and that as you're playing the game, it has real life consequences. Like, it'll start bringing in like tigers and lions and that one big game hunter douchebag who's constantly trying to kill Robin Williams for some reason.
It brings people from the world that's in the game, not to the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so stupid.
Yeah.
But it was a hit, and they actually made a real Jumanji board game.
Mm-hmm.
There was a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a cartoon. And then eventually they made another movie called Zathura, which was based off of a. It was okay. So those of you who don't know, Jumanji is actually a children's book, and Zathura was also by the same author, with sort of the same premise, except instead of the jungle, it was space themed. And it didn't do as well, but
no.
For some reason, they thought it'd be a good idea to bring this franchise back, and
So the premise here is that now they're playing a video game.
On an old ass Atari console that apparently has really good specs.
It's like, oh, this console from the 80s and it has HD graphics
somehow. Well, they just get that. They don't really show HD graphics or anything.
No, they but they show the menus, and the menus yeah. have way clearer text than,
than Atari
any console from the 80s had.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, so they get sucked into the game, and instead of being themselves, they actually become the avatars that they had selected from, with hilarious mm-hmm. results.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The stuck-up teenage girl gets turned into Jack Black.
Mm-hmm. She was just freaking awesome.
And the black kid that's an athlete who's tall gets turned into Kevin Hart. The nerdy kid gets turned into The Rock. Mm. And the nerdy girl gets turned into, I don't know what her name is, Karen Gillan.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she played in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then she starts screaming, why the hell do I have a tank top in a jungle?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I wanted to hate it, but I can't.
No. And actually, this is sort of a sequel to the original, because I guess Jack Black was talking about how they make allusions to Robin Williams' character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since they're actually in the jungle that he was in.
Yeah.
Mm.
So he's like a legendary figure in this world.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, that's one to watch out for. This one's coming out on Christmas.
Yeah.
It's December 20th.
Mm.
God, I hope. This is like, I'm not necessarily hoping it'll be to the lengths of the Lego movie, but I kind of hope it's going to be to the lengths of the Lego movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So. But anyway, so.
But we got another good one coming up.
Yeah, so next up we've got, I think this is Netflix, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Netflix's adaptation of Death Note.
And it still gets people doing the whitewashing thing. Like, it's not whitewashing. If you want Japanese actors, there's at least a few of those movies in anime.
Yeah.
Go watch that. This is called an adaptation.
Yeah, and they're moving it over to...
It's like Western Turner, not like Yagami.
Yeah.
The only weird thing they're keeping is Ryuk and the Kira nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, at least in this one, unlike Light Yagami, who looks relatively respectable, at least in this case, Light looks like an absolute douche. So you can automatically hate him.
Yeah. It looks good, though.
He looks like your
actually kind of
nerdy
surprised.
Kid mm-hmm. that wants to get back at people.
Yep.
Though the weird,
or
the
also known
part...
as me in high school.
And... The bad part about this trailer is just kind of a mishmash of scenes. You don't really get any sort of context for what's going on at any point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, there's things that happen. L looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm thinking those are not order either.
Mm. No, I don't think so. I think it's just them throwing it all together.
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, that's coming out August 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like it could be pretty cool.
Yeah, another.
And definitely having Willem Dafoe as Ryuk is perfect.
Oh, yeah. That is, well, I mean, he already kind of looked like him.
Yeah.
But anyway,
he's going to kill that role. I mean, you know, you already know.
It's Willem Dafoe. He kills every role he's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and Ryuk actually looks pretty good.
Hmm.
And this is, like, freaky death god.
Yeah.
Well, looks good. Anyway. Next up, finally, our last trailer and our ultimate story for the night, Marvel's Inhumans.
Yeah, this one, I think, just dropped not long ago.
Yeah, it dropped today, I think.
Yeah.
I think it dropped last night.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is the... Those you don't... Okay, do we need to point out who the Inhumans are at this point?
No.
I mean, let's face it, Marvel has desperately trying to make them a thing.
Yeah.
And we've been over it on this show ourselves. So.
Yeah.
But basically, just for the record, there's this thing called the Terrigen Mist. It starts sweeping the globe, and to people who it's compatible with, it turns them into Inhumans.
Mm.
The ones that it's not compatible with, it just straight up fucking kills.
Yeah.
And the king and queen of the Inhumans, Medusa and who's the other? I can't forget.
Black Bolt.
Trying to defend them. Blah, blah, blah. Inhumans.
Hmm. So yeah, we have a trailer for this now.
Maybe this is the point we'll finally see Kamala Khan. Mm-hmm. Because she actually is an Inhuman, for those who don't know. The new Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised they haven't put her into the cinematic universe yet, because she's like the biggest hit they've had in almost a decade.
Hmm. Give it time.
Yeah, she'll be about, I think.
Yeah.
They just gotta find the right way to introduce her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I don't think it's going to be through a Netflix series.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some interesting actors in this. Mm-hmm. There's the one guy from the Game of Thrones who's, as far as I've seen of the Game of Thrones, he's an absolute dick. He's torturing what's his face from that was staying with the Starks that they took. It's like third season early on.
Oh, right.
That takes over the Starks castle, burns it down. Yeah. I forget what his name is, but
you said that guy. One guy from Game of Thrones who's a dick. That's like
all of them.
That's true.
No, this guy sticks out as like he's torturing.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Ripping
yeah.
off his flesh in a way that just traumatized me almost.
Yeah,
that's like
okay, again. That's about like
like all you want. You start peeling flesh off their fingers, that starts to get like I can't watch this anymore.
Yeah. But yeah, so Marvel's in okay, so you said that's one who else?
There's an Asian guy that I see in a lot of shows. I don't know his name, unfortunately.
All right.
He's in this trailer. He might be in Prison Break. One of the evil guys in Prison Break from the corporation. The Asian guy, I think from there, I think he's in this.
All right.
It's like small bit part people, but that's at least more than most of these other people.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of interchangeable just because they pick up small actors. Because there's so many Marvel shows and movies.
Yeah.
They're just trying to take over all of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do shows like this, it's always going to be small people that you've probably never seen.
And then if it's successful, they suddenly become the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point where Robert Downey Jr. is getting paid millions of dollars for every minute he's in.
Not just millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But, like, well,
You're the thing that's propping up Spider-Man for people that want this to actually be good.
Yeah. But,
credit for everything Marvel now.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I do believe we have a show, folks.
Yes.
Yes, we have something.
Yep, we got a show. Granted, it ran almost to the 3-hour mark, but hey, it was just one of those nights. So, I would like to remind our listeners that if you want to write into the show, ask us a question, have something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, you can find our little cast on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, probably your toaster.
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised.
With IoT, you never know.
Yeah. And, so that's going to do it for us tonight. Hopefully, we'll be seeing you guys again next week. I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Evelyn, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logie, I'd like to say... good night, sleep right there, and remember, Warden's a dick.